This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. Coalition forces have arrested a senior Iraqi intelligence officer in Bakuba today. Colonel Meir Abbas Amir worked under Saddam Hussein's regime. It's believed that Amir may have been involved in recent attacks on U.S. forces and has been spying for supporters of Saddam. While being put into the military vehicle, Amir made a sarcastic remark. Amir's home was raided after an Iraqi informant tipped off authorities. He has been taken to a police station for questioning. 10 other Iraqis were also arrested in the raid. The soldiers say that they were all attending a meeting. Alleged survivors of abuse by pedophile priests will get to tell their stories to the new leader of priests in Boston, Archbishop Sean O'Malley. He will attend a settlement session with some of the plaintiffs on Saturday. Survivor David Carney wants to be heard.
I didn't say money. I'm not here. It's not about money. It's right now. It's not about money. He wants to talk to me. I want to tell him what happened to me. But one thing I haven't yet said is a dollar amount of anything.
The church has offered $65 million to settle cases brought by more than 550 alleged victims. Lawyers for the plaintiffs have reportedly been seeking between $90 and $120 million to settle the cases. The Boston Globe reports O'Malley is trying to get the money from insurance companies that provided coverage to the archdiocese when the alleged abuse took place. While Bishop of Fall River, O'Malley successfully sued insurers for the money in cases against that diocese.
Men and women, do you remember when you were thin? You look great no matter what clothes you put on. Now that great-looking body you once had no longer has to be a memory. Introducing Fat Inferno. Fat Inferno is a new diet supplement that cuts carbohydrates and increases your metabolism, all in one tablet. Fat Inferno boosts your metabolism so you burn off more calories even while you rest. In clinical trials performed on the active ingredients in Fat Inferno, people lost 320% more weight. So if you love to eat and don't want to count calories, fat, or carbs anymore, or try Fat Inferno. And with Fat Inferno, you'll melt away up to 7 pounds of ugly fat in the first week and one dress or pant size every 2 weeks thereafter, guaranteed. So if you love to eat, now you'll love to lose. Call now for your risk-free trial. Fat Inferno is safe, clinically proven, and guaranteed to work. Call toll-free 1-800-482-6158. That's 1-800-482-6158. 1-800-482-6158.
European faith in the global leadership of the United States has plummeted since the Iraq War. That's the finding of a new transatlantic survey that also suggests record numbers of Americans back U.S. involvement overseas. 8,000 people in the U.S., Britain, and six other European countries took part. Suzanne Chislett reports.
There is agreement on both sides of the Atlantic that terrorism and the spread of weapons of mass destruction are the main threats to international security. But according to the survey, Americans are more likely than Europeans to support the use of force to disarm countries such as North Korea and Iran. In Europe, a majority expressed disapproval of America's foreign policy, with President George Bush's personal standing in Germany crumbling from 36% to 16% in just a year. And less than half of the Europeans surveyed wanted to see a strong American presence in the world, down to 45% from 64% in the 2002 poll. Suzanne Chislett, London.
Mom? Dad?
Someone's gonna try and get me to take drugs.
Wanna do something about it?
You're gonna have to make me tell you where I am and who I'm with every day.
Don't like the sound of that?
Tough. You gotta be the grown-up.
Kids with involved parents are less likely to try drugs. So ask them, who, what, where, when. Questions. They're the anti-drug.
Call 1-800-729-6686 for more information. Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
Philadelphia Republican mayoral candidate Sam Katz has landed a major endorsement. Katz has been given the support of the Teamsters Union. Frank Gillen of the Teamsters says they want a change in City Hall to preserve union jobs in Philadelphia.
We feel there has to be jobs to come to this city, especially the food center here, where there's talk over in Jersey that they want these jobs. We want these jobs to stay here. They're Teamsters jobs, and that comes to us first.
Katz got an air horn salute as he climbed onto the flatbed trailer used for the announcement, saying the Teamsters' endorsement is important to his winning the November election. Another up day for Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrial Average hit a new 52-week high, gaining 19 points to close at 95.87. The tech-heavy NASDAQ hit a 17-month closing high, gaining 16 points to end the day at 1868. The S&P 500 pushed up 2 points to close the trading session at 1028. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Cucumbers, jazz, Gwyneth Paltrow, and khakis. Speaking of cool things, how's your vehicle's cooling system stacking up for the summer? Don't sweat it. When I come back, I'll tell you how to chill out. We've all seen the Tornado device on TV and wondered if it really worked. I was also skeptical at first until we tested 6 Tornado units. And in every case, we got more miles per gallon and felt more power. Gasoline's expensive, so when we find something that saves us money, it just makes sense to get it. Call 800-500-8880 and order your Tornado unit today. Or visit TornadoAir.com. It's hot, and you're working hard. You can't go another foot till you cool off. Aha, now you know how your car feels. In fact, overheating's the number one cause of breakdowns. Like our bodies have a cooling system, cars do too. They rely on radiators to keep their engines from boiling over. To properly cool, these systems must be maintained with correct proportions and levels of coolant water mixture. So this summer, think cool, calm, and collect the money saved by radiator check. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us. Program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. The phone number here, 800-TALK-YES. If you'd like to email during the program, MikeDMalloy@earthlink.net. Last day to get it said with me until September 15th. We are out of here tomorrow, so do call us tonight. Join in the fun and frivolity. The phone number again, 800-825-5937. We're going to be joined in less than a half an hour by decorated Vietnam veteran, activist, and writer Stan Goff. We're going to talk a bit about his Bring Them Home Now campaign regarding the killing of our soldiers in Iraq. Stan Goff also has a son in Iraq and is active in Veterans for Peace, so stick around for that, okay? Newsday in, where is that, Long Island? Is that where that is, Kathy? Newsday newspaper had a quick presidential vote. Who will you vote for president? And guess who was number one with the most responses? This was earlier today. I don't know how this poll went through the rest of the day. Dennis Kucinich had 51.4% of the vote. Howard Dean, 35.5. Who was next? George W. Bush was third with 4.6. Gephardt, 2.9. Joe Lieberman, 0.5. Anyway, what was interesting to me, this is one of the first polls I've seen where Kucinich actually outpolls Dean. Kucinich is like the man who is just simply not there. Do you notice that? No matter who's doing the writing, whether it's an Eastern newspaper, Western newspaper, Southern, Midwest, doesn't make any difference. No matter if the writer is decidedly conservative or liberal, if the paper has a certain slant, doesn't matter. There are three people that always get left off when they're talking about the candidates. That's Kucinich and Sharpton and Carol Moseley Braun. Isn't that interesting? So in this particular poll, out of, at the time I saw it, 7,902 total responses, Kucinich 51.4, Dean 35.5, Bush 4.6. That's numbers 1, 2, and 3 in order. There's another poll I saw today at AOL, And, of course, all of these self-selecting polls are ridiculous. I understand that. But they're still interesting to look at, participate in. But the one at AOL had 1.2 million votes. And the question was, should the U.N. help the United States out where it concerns Iraq? 75% of the people responding said yes. They should have had a category that said hell yes. But to show once again how far removed from reality the Bush crime family really is, although you don't need any proof of that. Miguel Estrada, this right-wing thug that Bush had nominated to be on the federal appeals court, has withdrawn his name from consideration. It's about time. It's taken 2 years for the Democrats to filibuster this neo-Nazi, Estrada. He withdrew his name from consideration today. Says he will write a letter to Bush explaining his reasons. Now, Estrada is part of this handful of federal judicial nominees named by Bush. Bush doesn't have a clue about any of these people. He's just told what to do by Roe or somebody. I don't know. Wasn't Estrada a former Texas Supreme Court judge? It doesn't make any difference. It could be Bush's next-door neighbor. He wouldn't have known who it was. But a handful of these judicial nominees put out there by Roe and Cheney and the rest of these neo-Nazis. And Democrats argue they were too conservative to serve on the nation's second highest court. Hell, they're too conservative to serve Adolf Hitler. These people are real Stalinists. Republicans, of course, slammed back at the Democrats and said they were racially biased. They said the reason the Democrats were turning this guy down was because he was Hispanic. Now, don't you love that? Huh? You see a lot of that, don't you? Not just from Republicans. You see it from certain members of the so-called left. You know, when they can't make their case, they just immediately fall back on charges of you're a racist, or charges of you're coming down on him because he's Latino. Right? Huh? But the Republicans said, that's what they said. They said, well, you know, you Democrats, there you go again. You're just biased because Mr. Estrada is Hispanic. God. Now, back in July, this thing came to a head when Senate Republicans tried to get the nominations through. I'm surprised Bush didn't just give them a recess appointment. Of course, that's only good until that particular end of Congress, term of Congress, and they have to vote anyway. Maybe it doesn't work that way with judicial nominees. But anyway, back in July, Republicans tried and tried and tried. They needed 60 votes to break off the filibuster. Couldn't get it, even though there was a certain number of apostate Democrats who should be have their asses tossed out of the Democratic Party. I'm thinking of Zell Miller as one here in Georgia. Of course, Zell is gone. He's not going to run for re-election. He should. He should just run for re-election as a Republican, really. Anyway, Bush nominated Estrada more than 2 years ago. Other Bush nominees to the appeals court who have run into opposition over the past few years include Mississippi Judge Charles Pickering, another psychopath, Texas Judge Priscilla Owen, who never met a prisoner that she wouldn't like to see executed, whether they were convicted of a capital offense or not, and, of course, his political life is now in the toilet, Alabama Attorney General William Pryor. Apart from Estrada, the Senate Democrats are filibustering Owen and Pryor. But I think it shows what you have to do. Just like the Texas Democrats had to leave the state, Gray Davis they're trying to usurp the will of the people where it concerns Gray Davis. Look what happened in Florida. Republicans they can't win elections, so they have to do this. They have to steal the election. They have to undermine the system. They have to try to destroy the Senate's traditional role of advice and consent where it concerns judicial nominees. But that's Republicans for you. They're thugs, mass killers, and psychopaths. What else we got here? The U.S., we have failed to take care of our destroying our chemical weapons. Did you know that? Now, they're destroying a lot of them over in Alabama, but those are ones that are leaking and no good anymore. They, you know, the kill power of those weapons in Alabama is still there, but they can't, you know, there's no delivery systems. But where it concerns the Chemical Weapons Treaty, the Bush crime family acknowledged late yesterday it will miss by more than 3 years an important international deadline for destroying our arsenal of chemical weapons, huh? Now, when Saddam tried this, you know,
well, I've already,
you know, a Bush went apoplectic about it, right? But Bush, see, Bush is Bush. Bush is a Bush. U.S. Defense Department said in a statement it will not be able to liquidate 45% of its chemical stockpile by April 29, 2004, as required by the 1997 Chemical Weapons Convention. Right? The Bush crime family cares not a tinker's damn about U.N. resolutions unless they operate in favor of the Israelis, unless they are used against a thug like Saddam, unless they don't like any U.N. resolutions against their buddies in Turkey. They don't like U.N. resolutions against their business partners in Saudi Arabia, right? And as far as the Chemical Weapons Convention, 1997, it's like the nuclear proliferation treaty that the Bush crime family trashed, and the Kyoto Treaty. You know, they don't care. The statement by Rumsfeld's the Defense Department, said the U.S. is therefore requesting the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons grant an extension of the 45% destruction deadline. Oh, Rummy wants an extension. Oh, yeah. Oh, Remy wants an extension. Supposing the French and the Germans and the British and the Russians said, you can't get an extension, jackass, destroy them, or we're going to come over and show you shock and awe. We're going to come bomb the hell out of Chicago, Philadelphia, New York, and Miami. The Pentagon said that they will be able to reach the required milestone, maybe, possibly, by December 2007. And if the world doesn't like it, the world can kiss Rumsfeld's hindquarters. You know, that's very simple. A judge in Detroit, federal judge in Detroit, has given John Ashcroft 14 days to explain why he shouldn't be required to appear in a Detroit courtroom to tell why he, Ashcroft, violated the judge's gag order by commenting during the spring's Detroit terrorism trial. The judge there, Gerald Rosen, issued a 14-day directive on Friday. Was that last Friday? I guess it was last Friday. At the request of lawyers for three men who were convicted in June after the lengthy trial, the lawyers said Ashcroft's comments jeopardized their clients' fair trial rights. Really? No kidding. So Ashcroft is going to show up in court? Sure he will. Ashcroft commented that some of the Detroit suspects had advanced knowledge of the September 11, 2001 attacks. He later retracted the remark, obviously because it was not true, but by then the damage had been done. The judge warned him that he had violated the gag order. So this past April, after a witness finished testifying in the terrorism trial, Ashcroft publicly praised the witness for helping prosecutors. Defense lawyers complained to the judge that Ashcroft was trying to sway the jury. The judge rebuked Ashcroft. And now the judge has said, look, bring your ass into court here and let's find out why you shouldn't be held in contempt. A Justice Department spokesman declined to comment on Rosen's 14-day directive. Well, it doesn't have to comment. This is John Ashcroft. John Ashcroft can do whatever the hell he wants to do. Court? Is it a court order? Oh, please. That does no apply to Ashcroft. Oh, my God. Court. That only applies to people, oh, I don't know, like you and me? Huh? Not Ashcroft. The father of a soldier that was killed in that ambush in Iraq that Jessica Lynch survived has some things to say about Lynch's million-dollar book deal. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy.
here's some good news. Tax rebate checks are here just in time for back-to-school shopping. And Sears will cash your tax rebate check free of charge with any purchase. Here's some more good news. Right now, during the Sears Great 3-Day Sale, save 50% on great back-to-school items throughout the store. Plus, all jeans are on sale. Brands like Levi's, Lee, Canyon River Blues, LEI, Bongo, and Mud. So hurry in now through Saturday. You don't want to miss the Great 3-Day Sale. 3-day sale ends August 16th. All jeans on sale through August 30th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears. Good life. Great price.
Hi, Tom Baudette for Motel6.com. Next time you're goofing around on the internet, you know, in other words, the next time you're at work, click on over to Motel6.com for Click 6 Web Bargains. Those are special discounts at hundreds of locations that you can only get when you book online. Just look for the Click 6 icon at Motel6.com and then get back to work. I'm Tom Baudette, and we'll leave the light and the modem on for you. And a core hotel.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
The Mike Molloy Show.
Joining us now is Jason Campbell with the Christian Action Network.
Well, since 1991, the gay movement has gone down to Disney to do these gay days. You've had events where you've had Mickey Mouse with Goofy in sexual positions.
Ah! Homosexual movies are shown on the Disney transportation systems. And what kind of movies, for God's sake, do they show on these buses?
Triple X.
Oh, you're kidding.
If a child's riding beside one of the buses and looks up and says, Daddy, what is that on the television monitor?
Right.
It's going to be an embarrassing moment.
Oh, it'll be worse than embarrassing. The child will be scarred for life.
Right. That's what the homosexuals want.
Well, I know. They're after the kids. Now, the only thing I'm afraid of is somebody just tuned in the program and never heard the program before and just went, oh, Jesus, this guy is really a right-wing freak.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to Animal Talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Doing talk radio right from the left, it's Mike Molloy.
Don't forget, Stan Goff is going to join us right after the break at the bottom of the hour. The father of a soldier in Comfort, Texas. The soldier was killed in an ambush in Iraq that yielded the wondrous story of Jessica Lynch. That's the one that Miss Lynch, she's out of the military now, so Miss Lynch survived. The father of that soldier killed in the attack said that Miss Lynch's million-dollar book deal will taint the memory of the soldiers killed in the ambush. The dad said, pretty severe, isn't it? that she makes money off the death of my son and off the deaths of so many others? His son was among seven members of the 507th Maintenance Company stationed at Fort Bliss in El Paso. They were killed in that ambush on March 23rd. Lynch survived the attack and was taken prisoner. She was later, quote, rescued, close quote, from a hospital and became a, quote, national hero, close quote. I'm putting the quotes around this. This is a copy from KSAT television in Texas, and I refuse to go along with the nonsense that she was rescued. She was not rescued. That she's a national hero? Bat squeeze. Anyway, KSAT says, on Tuesday, a publisher announced Lynch signed a $1 million book deal that would tell the story about her capture and rescue. The dad of the killed soldier says, where's the $1 million book deal for the other members of the 507th who were killed? How do they tell their story? Dad went on to say, now, she's a profiteer because what she did was in the line of duty. You know, why is she profiting from it? The father said he also blames the publisher and others, quote, who waved that $1 million check in front of her, unquote. The father of the slain soldier says he plans on reading Miss Lynch's book due out in November to find out what it says about his son. He added that he's glad Miss Lynch survived the attack. Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous to consider that PFC Jessica Lynch was a hero. I don't think she asked for it. She's going to profit from it. What the hell? This is America. But she didn't ask for it. That was put together by the psychopathic Donald Rumsfeld's Defense Department. Hey, we need something to jack up the American public. I'll tell you what, let's take one of these girls over here and make her into a hero. It's disgusting. Jesus. Christy Whitman. News is starting to come out now that, this is really, it's awful stuff. I don't know if we can we do this? We're about coming up on this break. Hugh Kaufman, who was with the EPA since its inception in 1971, he was the chief investigator for the EPA Ombudsman's Office until he was removed after issuing critical reports. Isn't that what he's supposed to do? Kaufman sued, and the Labor Department ordered the EPA to reinstatement, determining that Kaufman had been prohibited from performing his job in reprisal for performing a too effective job. So in 2002, EPA's then-administrator Christine Todd Whitman dissolved the Ombudsman's Office altogether and transferred its duties to the Inspector General. Hugh Kaufman said today, the EPA under Administrator Whitman told us that Lower Manhattan was safe and not contaminated. Based on that false information, the insurance companies saved hundreds of millions of dollars. One of those insurance companies was Citigroup, with which Mrs. Whitman's family has substantial economic ties. Mrs. Whitman's husband, John Whitman, used to be a Citigroup officer and is now the managing partner of Sycamore Ventures, a half-billion-dollar venture capital firm that was spun out of Citigroup but still manages a substantial amount of the company's money. Jesus. Christy Whitman, mass murderer or just your average Republican?
Places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George VI to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
United Airlines will be bankrupt longer than expected as it struggles to stay in the air. This spring, executives predicted finishing the company's financial reorganization in September. In bankruptcy court last week, though, they testified to a new deadline of sometime in the first half of next year at the earliest. United Union employees signed new labor contracts, including $2.5 billion worth of wage and benefit concessions, made in the name of getting United back into friendly fiscal skies, but that may not be enough now for the company. Like many others, it is lobbying heavily in Washington this week for legislation to skip or delay next year's required payments into worker pension funds, which at United are underfunded to the tune of $6 billion.
Though a contract covering hundreds of thousands of auto workers with the nation's big three car makers doesn't expire until September 14th, the United Auto Workers want a new contract hashed out by tomorrow. Negotiators have been spotted bringing toothbrushes and a change of clothes to talks in Detroit this week, where the UAW hopes to hold the line on health care costs and is reportedly trying to win an agreement that would give its organizers greater access to auto parts suppliers. While workers at roughly half of parts suppliers once belonged to the UAW, in recent years that number has slipped below 25%.
A shocking indictment of farming in South Africa by the country's own Human Rights Commission. A report released this week based on 2 years' worth of research finds a, quote, culture of violence within farming communities in several provinces. Some examples, white farmers regularly beat and threaten black hires, often sicking dogs on them. Child labor is widespread, and some farmers pay their hired help not in cash, but in alcohol, usually moonshine, a practice supposedly outlawed a decade ago.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of Brimstone Hill you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Justice and the American Way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
It's coming through a hole in the air from those nads in Tiananmen Square. It's coming from the field.
27 before the hour. Stan Goff is a decorated veteran from the Vietnam conflict. He's an activist and writer, and he also has a son in Iraq. Stan Goff is active in Veterans for Peace, and he is active in the campaign to bring our troops home from Iraq now. Stan joins us from Raleigh, North Carolina. Stan, thanks for taking time to join us.
Well, thanks for having me on.
If you don't mind, for the folks who don't know about the Bring Them Home Now campaign, just give us an idea of what this is about.
It's a campaign to bring the troops home, but it's a campaign that's being the driving force behind which is our two organizations, that's Military Family Speak Out and Veterans mm-hmm. for Peace, and you know where we encourage everybody to participate in the campaign to end the occupation of Iraq and to bring our troops home. We're kind of protective of our identity as people coming from military communities because we're not as susceptible to the kind of patriot baiting that other people have. We have sort of a special ability to undermine the credibility of this administration, and people tend to listen to veterans on questions of war and peace. And so, you know, we feel like we have kind of a special role in the anti-war, anti-occupation movement.
What, given the political climate that, in my opinion, has been whipped up by the Bush administration, how, what sort of reaction do you get when you specifically or members of your organization approach civic groups or veterans groups with your message?
It's been surprisingly counterintuitive, and I don't know who does all these polls that determine that so many people support the war. No one's ever called me for one, and no one I know has ever been called about one, but I'm very skeptical about them. Every place that we've gone, every one we've spoken to, every radio program we've been on with call-ins, surprisingly, the majority of the responses are very positive. We started, one of the things that was interesting, the Military Families Speak Out started out with just a couple of families, and by the time the balloon went up in March, there were 200 families involved. Mm-hmm. And there was the expectation, you know, that once the actual invasion began, that there'd be a significant number of families that would resign and say, well, you know, now that it's started, we've got to get behind the president and all that. And in fact, two families did resign, and within a couple of weeks, 200 families, additional families, joined. Mm-hmm. So it's really been sort of surprising. I think a lot of people, you know, there's both this steady stream of casualties that was coming back before they began to pull back operations, which they've done very significantly in the last 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. But the casualties, the stories are beginning to finally break that there was no al-Qaeda connection, there was no nuclear program,
right.
You know, there was no, there were no weapons of mass destruction, that this was all, you know, a pretext. It was manufactured mm-hmm. intelligence for the purpose, again, in the acquiescence of the American people. And so as the administration has begun to lose its credibility, as we're beginning to pay the price economically, and as more and more people's families and communities are affected by these people coming back killed and wounded, there's been a real erosion of support for this thing, and there's been a much greater willingness to question mm-hmm. the administration, and I think that there's momentum in that direction that's not going to stop.
As you know, while the Vietnam War was still in progress, there were a lot of returning vets, returning soldiers who got active to try to end that war once it became clear to people on the ground in Southeast Asia that the war was lost. However, how unusual is it to have families of active military personnel lobbying or organizing against a war, legal or not? In other words, how unusual is it for your organization to be as active as it is?
I can't speak to that with any authority because I don't really know the history. I don't remember anything like that going on during the Vietnam conflict.
I don't
the Vietnam
either.
Veterans against the war, the veterans themselves were very
right.
active and I think pivotal. In given the final impetus to the anti-war movement that ended the invasion of Vietnam. In this case, though, I think there were a lot of things that were different. First of all, the level of organization, not just national organization, but international organization of the anti-war movement, even before, an overt invasion began, was far more well-developed. In advance of the conflict, where there was, you know, Vietnam sort of incrementally creeped up on people, and it had grown to something much larger than they expected before a lot of people even knew where Vietnam was.
Really,
and this was something, it's a combination of changed conditions overall, but I think also Infram given us some real opportunities to organize because, you know, when we had millions of people in the street all over this country to oppose the invasion of Iraq this past time, we had millions of people all over the world that really had our back. And in some cases, we were coordinating these demonstrations all over the world. And a lot of people say, well, you know, they didn't work because the war went ahead anyway. But in fact, they did work because we didn't go away. We had to regroup a little bit and figure out where we were going to go from here. But it had a material impact on the war, and it's still having a material impact, and it should have a material impact. And I think people should take pride in the organization and effort that they put forth. Even if we didn't get what we wanted, I think we still have the capacity to regenerate this movement, go back and end this occupation, and bring our folks back home.
What is your take on high-ranking U.S. military officers who, because they spoke out truthfully, I'm thinking about General Shinseki, among others, who said there it would take several hundred thousand U.S. soldiers to pacify or reconstruct or whatever the term is now, Iraq. And these high-ranking officers who have been, let's be honest, forced out, forced to take retirement, get the hell out of Dodge by the civilian leadership, which is Rumsfeld, who, as far as I'm concerned, couldn't find his ass with both hands, doesn't understand combat, doesn't understand anything about a military, and is, in fact, putting our people in harm's way and killing them. I'm sorry, I'm getting pissed. I get real riled up. I'm sorry about this. But what's your take on Shinseki, for example, as a specific, and some of these other high-ranking military men who have been forced out?
Well, I think Donald Rumsfeld doesn't have much respect for his generals, and that's a pretty well-known fact. He's created a lot of tension in the Pentagon between his little cabal and the rest of the Pentagon. And this is not, you know, I'm not out there to become a cheerleader for the generals, because I've got my issues with the officer corps too.
Sure.
But they at least do understand something about what's going to be required to maintain a military, not just now, but into the future. A lot of the things that are going on right now in Iraq and Afghanistan are going to have a tremendous and negative impact on the capacity of the military in the future, because they're going to have a huge gap in the military ranks, because they're going to have retention problems.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they understand that the long-term health of the military as an institution is being jeopardized by this guy. And Rumsfeld is a crackpot. You know, he's always been a crackpot, and the generals know it. He's convinced himself that he's a military genius, and unfortunately he's also convinced the commander-in-chief, the putative commander-in-chief, that he's some sort of a military, a great military thinker. And in fact, everything he's done so far has been an utter military failure. Afghanistan and Iraq, and this is something that people really have to understand, Afghanistan and Iraq are military failures. They're colossal military failures, and they've been military failures from the very beginning. People believe because you win a battle in a conventional confrontation that you've won a war, but what determines whether the outcome of war at the end of the day are the political consequences.
That's right. That's right.
And they've not worked out very well in either place, have they?
No, not even. I'd like to talk with you all night, Stan, but I got some folks here that want to get a question in. You don't mind?
No, go ahead.
Okay, Nathan is calling from Swansea, Illinois. Nathan, welcome to the program. Say hi to Stan Goff.
Hello, Mr. Goff.
Hi.
I was wondering, who are you calling for in the presidential candidacy?
I'm very sorry, but I really had a hard time understanding what you just said.
All right, what she said was, who? Right, hold on just a second, Nathan. What she said, Stan, was, who are you pulling for or backing or supporting in the presidential primaries or the races, what have you?
Oh, I'm not even there. I'm much more interested in seeing this administration thrown out before the elections ever happen.
Amen.
Oh, yes, I'm definitely there myself.
Amen.
Yeah, I'm... 2004 is a long way away.
Yeah, it is.
We're trying to figure out how to get the press and a lot of other people to make the case that these people are criminals and they need to be thrown out, just like the Nixon administration was.
Boy, big amen to that. Thank you, Nathan. Before I go back to the phones, how badly has the situation, let me rephrase it, to what degree has the situation in Iraq deteriorated, aside from the fact that we're losing people every single week, if not every single day, and aside from the fact that we're not getting the facts where it concerns our wounded coming back? How bad is that situation, Stan?
Yeah, well, the this again, you can't measure military success or failure by body counts, which is something we should have learned from Vietnam, but we didn't. You know, in fact, we haven't taken that many casualties, though I don't want to minimize that, because for the people who do have loved ones who are killed and wounded and will become sick and will come home crazy and all the other things that happen to people in these situations, it's still it's not a really intense conflict. Again, the problem is that these folks don't understand the political content of this war. And even at the strategic level, the battlefield initiative has been lost. It's been utterly lost in Iraq right now. My understanding is, and I'm corresponding with people who are in theater right now. A few weeks ago, the operational tempo in Iraq was so great that it was driving people to heat stroke. It was leading them into one ambush after another, and it was even driving a few people to suicide.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because this stream of casualties had created such a political liability for the Bush administration, the Department of Defense has actually issued an order to the majority of the force comm units on the ground over there that no one will leave their perimeters to conduct so much as a security control without the express signature of at least the chief of staff of a division.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, they've gone into a very much heightened force protection posture in order to preclude casualties for political reasons. The problem with that is, in a situation like Iraq, strictly from a military standpoint and being completely amoral and, you know, and dispassionate in the analysis, is that now you have an occupying force with all the disadvantages that come from not being on your home turf, locked into static positions that are now under 24/7 surveillance, while the countryside and the street has been ceded to the guerrillas.
That's right.
Who are developing this battlefield and developing target folders on the static installations. So when they do recommence operations, they're going to be in a much less advantageous position than they were in the first place, and it wasn't a very advantageous position then. In fact, the operations that they launched in response to these pinprick attacks were so ham-handed that they were serving as probably the best recruitment tool for the guerrillas of anything that was going on the ground. They're crashing into people's homes. They're humiliating people. They're violating people's dignity. They're killing civilians. You know, they're doing all the things that they really don't understand, that they've got the entire population now looking askance at them. And there's always a few opportunists in any population that'll make some sort of an alliance with an occupying force. But it's my understanding that every time there's an attack that's the least bit successful on Americans, that there's spontaneous celebration.
Right.
And don't get me wrong. See, I have a son over there, so I have some very conflicted feelings about this whole thing because, on the one hand, I want my son to come home, and I want him to come back more or less the same way that we sent him over there.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, if I were an Iraqi, I would be part of the resistance.
That's right.
Because I understand, and as anyone should, that no one is going to stand by and tolerate someone coming in and invading their home country and trying to impose, a Quisling government on it.
Mm-hmm. Given this fall back or hunker down or stay within the perimeter attitude that's in place now for political reasons, you know, that seems to violate tactics 101. This is not how you, especially if you're an invading force, this is not what you do, unless you're the British and it's the 18th century and you're in there, you know, you plan on staying for a couple of hundred years. The question that immediately comes to my mind is the people, the commanders on the ground who are forced into this a political situation when they're trying to conduct, again, taking an amoral point of view here, they're trying to conduct a war against hostile forces. How do these commanders on the ground, surely they know, a lot of these guys are West Point graduates. They are war college graduates. They understand tactics. They understand how a war is conducted. Why are they doing it?
I wouldn't make that assumption. I'll say that right up front. No. But having gone to West Point doesn't mean that you know.
I'm talking about the history of warfare. Can I get you to hold a second?
Sure.
All right, because we got to do a quick break here, and then we'll come back and let's come back and pick it up right there. We're talking with Stan Goff, decorated veteran, activist, and writer, who also has a son in Iraq, is active in the Veterans for Peace movement. Check out the website, bringthemhomenow.org. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Trouble, all trouble move from me. I have paid my debt. Now won't you leave me in my misery? Trouble, please be kind. I don't want no fight, and I haven't got a lot of time.
Thieves in High Places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Hi, Tom Baudet for Motel 6. Some websites use outrageous gimmicks to attract visitors, like click here and get three wishes. But at Motel6.com, they have Click 6 web bargains that save you even more off the lowest price of any national chain. And you can only get them when you book online. Sorry, no three wishes, but you will have more money. That's usually wish number one anyway. I'm Tom Baudet, and we'll leave the light on for you. And a core hotel.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, this is a commercial for a major radio network. We can do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Yeah.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Holden Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, there. This is a commercial for a major radio network. We should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
There are some who feel like that, you know, the conditions are such that they can attack us there. My answer is bring them on.
Your answer is bring them on, huh? We're talking with decorated veteran, activist, and writer Stan Goff. He joins us from Raleigh, North Carolina. By the way, check out bringthemhomenow.org. Back to the tactics, Stan, the fact that the commanders, I don't want to put too much emphasis on their academic background or their West Point background, but...
No, I understand your question. And I think this is the dilemma, is regardless of what they do, they can't win. I mean, I'm sure that some of the officers understand that. I'm sure that a lot of the people there understand that. What they did was they went in there with a huge assumption, and that was that, you know, when they marched into Baghdad, people were going to throw roses at them and greet them like the Allied troops marching into Paris.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't march into Paris. They marched into Mogadishu.
That's right.
And now they don't know what to do.
That's right.
And one of the reasons that they believed, and I do believe that the National Command Authority believed it, because they convinced themselves that they were getting good information from a bunco artist named Ahmed Shalabi,
mm-hmm.
who's facing 22 years of hard labor in Jordan if he ever goes back there for bank fraud and embezzlement.
That's right.
This is the quality of this is the quality of intelligence that they're relying on. The problem is they don't have enough troops to go in there and occupy a country of that size, geographic and population wise.
Well, especially where it's located too.
Yeah. You know, they can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
As long as the Iraqi resistance decides to resist, and it appears to me that they've dug their heels in and they're going to continue to resist.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not remnants and it's not foreigners. This is Iraqi resistance.
Given the fact that the tradition, if not the law in this country, actually it is the law in this country, that military commanders are under the authority of civilians. At what point, I'm not talking mutiny, I'm not talking refusing orders, but at what point does the military sit down with somebody and say, look, what you just said, this can't be done?
Well, I think they're doing it now, and I think they're doing it the only way they can. They can't be insubordinate, and so they've got people who are sort of acting as their spokesperson. It's interesting to me that people like David Hackworth, who I'm sure David Hackworth's politics and mine wouldn't sit in the same room together, but
right.
We have a very similar assessment.
You do. I've read both of you.
It's over there.
Hey, Stan, we have to break here. Said to the producer you can hold on, stick around for another segment?
Sure.
Okay, let me put you on hold. We have to get out of the way for top of the hour news, and we'll come back and continue the discussion with Stan Goff. Do stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
My
fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Who says Mike Malloy is rational and you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired too?
I mean, I hate the guy.
And you hate me?
Ooh,
you
why
hate me?
Why not put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. 9 candidates vying for the Democratic nomination to the White House are heading into their first debate later today in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Former New York Congressman Republican Rick Lazio and former presidential campaign manager Susan Estrich say President Bush will no doubt be the main target in tonight's debate.
They'll all attack George Bush. That I know. Aren't I a genius?
The first of 6 official forums is set to start at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. It will be broadcast in both English and Spanish on PBS. Former Vermont Governor Howard Dean is leading the polls going into the debate. His war chest has increased as he continues his vocal opposition to President Bush's decision to go to war in Iraq. A cause hasn't been identified, but lots of fingers are being pointed at Ohio's First Energy Corporation as a possible culprit in last month's massive power blackout. First Energy is fighting back during ongoing congressional hearings. First Energy Chief Peter Berg testified before the House Energy Committee.
First Energy believes that the August 14th outage can only be the result of a combination of events that occurred across the Eastern Interconnection. We do not believe that events on any one system could account for the widespread nature of the outage.
As many as 50 million people were affected by the power outage in parts of the Midwest, Northeast, and Canada. Earlier this week, Energy Secretary Spencer Abraham said it's premature to speculate about a specific cause.
Are you a prescription plan member who uses Clarinex, Zyrtec, or Allegra for allergy relief? Then you should know that many plans are changing the coverage level on your nasal allergy medicine, which might cost you more money. Don't let nasal allergy relief cost you more this year. Just ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray 50 micrograms. Flonase is approved to relieve the nasal symptoms from pollen, dust mites, pet dander, pollution, smoke, and strong odors. More triggers than any leading allergy medicine. Comparable efficacy and safety among Flonase and these products has not been established. For best results, use Flonase daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. To learn more about Flonase, see our ad in Fitness Magazine. Visit www.flonase.com or call 1-800-FLONASE. If the copayment for your allergy medicine is costing you more money, ask your doctor if Flonase is right for you. All it takes is Flonase.
Omaha Mayor Mike Fahey is again calling on city council members who disagree with his budget proposal to present their own plan. The mayor's latest demand comes as several council members continue to question proposed contracts with the city's biggest labor unions, particularly the firefighters union.
If we do not accept them all, we have none. So it's either, I mean, everyone had to come to the table on this to make this work. Right now there is some sniping at the fire contract. But the civilians, their vote is today. It's very important that they pass that one as well and that they be accepted on Tuesday.
The firefighters' contract calls for members to accept a pay freeze next year in exchange for receiving givebacks in the following 3 years, plus their scheduled pay raises. Mayor Fahey says if the council doesn't accept the labor union agreement, city services such as swimming pools, recreation centers, and libraries will have to be cut.
One ringy dingy. Oh, is this the party to whom I am speaking? Ernestine Tomlin here, WebEx Communications Visionary. I want to tell you about the new ringy dingy, online meetings from WebEx. With WebEx, you share real-time voice, video, and data all through your browser. It's the world's richest web conferencing experience. Use WebEx and kick your competition in the tush. Visit me today at WebEx.com. I have something to show you.
The mayor of Lackawanna, New York, and off-duty police officers are being credited with rescuing a woman from her burning home. Mayor John Kuryak and his friend Brian Laxo were returning from posting campaign signs at around 1 this morning when they spotted the newly built house fully engulfed in flames. The fire had spread to two other houses, and Kuryak and Laxo knocked on the doors to notify all the residents. The two men woke Aggie Parks from sleeping and personally got her out of her home safely. Parks didn't recognize Kuryak as the mayor until sometime later. Fire investigators say no utilities were hooked up, so they have no idea how the blaze erupted. There were more gains across the board for U.S. stock markets. The Dow Jones Industrial Average continued its upward movement, gaining 19 points to 95.87. Tech-heavy NASDAQ hit a 17-month closing high, gaining 16 points to 18.68. The S&P 500 was up 2 to 10.28. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Bayonets ready. Take aim and fire. No, you're not in a World War I time warp. You're changing your glove compartment bulb. When I come back, I'll tell you how to hit the bullseye. In today's world of discord and disappointment, one thing's for sure. Car cover owners are so satisfied, they buy their car covers all over again. Think car covers are a hassle? No. Research shows owners find covers easy to put on and take off. Are all covers the same? No. The standard in car cover fabric is Blockit by Kimberly Clark. Don't let sun and dust damage your car. Kimberly Clark's Blockit fabric's got you covered. That's Blockit by Kimberly Clark. Don't get up in arms about burned out glove compartment bulbs. You can relight the way in these easy steps. With protected hand, grab your bayonet. Bayonet bulb, that is. This little light is so called because of the protrusion at its base that receives electrical current. Now push in slightly and turn counterclockwise to remove. To install new bulb, line up bayonet with socket slot, ease in, and turn clockwise. Now relax. You've won the battle of the bulb without a single casualty. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Stan Goff, who is a decorated Vietnam combat veteran, activist, and writer, joined us about half an hour ago. He has graciously agreed to stay over a little bit longer. We are talking, among other things, about his Bring Them Home Now campaign regarding our soldiers in Iraq. It is certainly worth noting that Stan also has a son in Iraq and is active in Veterans for Peace. A website you can check out, bringthemhomenow.org. Stan, right before the break, we were talking about Hackworth. I'm not sure in what context. I agree with you in the sense that Hack's political points of view and mine are like yours and Hack's, a million miles apart. But he damn sure makes some good points.
Yeah. See, there's a couple of questions about this war that people should be asking. One is, should they be doing it? And the other is, can they do it? Sometimes there's a situation where there's something that someone can do that they shouldn't,
mm-hmm.
and that's a moral problem.
Sure.
Excuse me. Hackworth is looking at this as an issue not of should, but whether they can. And Hackworth is saying that given just the tactical situation, they probably can't. I'm looking at this as a situation that we shouldn't be doing it, but I agree with Hackworth that we also can't.
Right.
It's the worst of all possible worlds. We're involved in a war we shouldn't be involved in, and we're involved in a war that we cannot win. So that's why we're saying we need to stop. And we need to just go ahead and redeploy the troops back home. And, you know, there's the old question that people ask all the way back in Vietnam. How do you get the troops, you know, how do you get the troops back once they're over there? But the answer, which was ignored at great cost, is with ships and airplanes.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. Given your experience, given most people's experience in this country over the age of 40, when we look back at Southeast Asia, when we look back at the longest foreign war the U.S. had ever been involved in, and we look at the not just the strategic but also the tactical errors were made and how long it took the American public to understand that we were in a strictly lose situation. How long is it going to take before people understand, by people I mean the American public, understands the situation is certainly different from Southeast Asia, but we also are in a no-win under any circumstances situation?
Yeah, I don't know. But I do know that that the American people will figure it out a lot quicker with venues like this. I wish that we had your show where I live. Well, you know, and one of the real problems so far in opposing this war in this country is that, in general, with some very remarkable and laudatory exceptions, the press in this country has shown that they are invertebrate.
That's right.
And they have been complicit in this war from the very beginning, and only just recently have they begun to sort of sneak out and ask a few questions, but they're still not even close to deserving the title of journalist yet. When you look at international news and compare it with the news that we get here, it becomes apparent that the American public, unbeknownst to them, is the most indoctrinated public in the world right now.
It's very true. In a different incarnation, I've spent two tours at CNN, once at CNN as a writer and once at CNN International as a writer. And I can tell you right now, the stories that I was instructed to write for CNN domestic, it was entirely different. We're entirely different from what I was instructed to write about for CNN International.
That's right.
CNNI is much more factual and much more to the point. But yeah, I agree with you. Media in this country, it's a horrific situation. All right, let me bring in a couple of people here. Brian is calling from Manchester, New Hampshire. Brian, thanks for holding on. You're on with Stan Goff.
Hi, good evening, gentlemen.
Hey.
Hi, how are you? Mr. Goff, sir, I first want to say I fully respect your wanting to get your beloved son back home, and I hope that may God and, of course, Allah and Yahweh protect him as well and get him home safely. And I agree with the spirit of what you're saying. The people that launched the 9-1-1 attacks came out of the stateless state of Afghanistan, which is still a state in anarchy. And the madrasas that originated these attacks are still in Saudi Arabia and Pakistan. It had nothing to do with Iraq. But I'd like to ask you, sir, what if they bring all the kids home, bring home your son? What are now UN soldiers and French soldiers supposed to go in their place and die and suffer? Possibly that, you know, this is the same France, and they had the courage to oppose us in the Security Council. Now their kids have to go die.
Oh, well, I think there's a couple of assumptions there that I'm not sure I agree with. The first one is that that this is necessary, you know, that someone needs to occupy Iraq in the first place.
I agree with that.
You know, I think Iraqis have about 4,000 more years experience with civilization than we do, for number one. So
right.
I have a real issue with a sort of white man's burden.
It's not my text,
this stuff that some, you know, some kind of white European, predominantly white European, political entities has to deploy their military into Iraq to teach those brown people how to live.
And God love your son.
I have a real issue with that. But the other thing that I think is something we just have to face is the crime's been committed. You know, when someone commits a murder, regardless of what you do afterwards, you can't bring that person back. There's been a crime committed in Iraq, and the devastation, and this crime didn't just start here recently. It started with the first Gulf War, in which one war crime after another was committed to take a potentially first world nation and completely eradicate its infrastructure and throw its people into misery. And it continued with the sanctions that were inhuman, in my mind.
Yes.
And that stuff has been done, and we can't take back the consequences of it because the consequences have already happened. There is no good outcome. That's the bad news about this war. There will not be a good outcome. And regardless of what happens in Iraq right now, there's a lot more suffering to come. But I don't think that relying on the same kind of imperial mentality that got us and other people before us into the region is a very reliable way to make things better.
Right.
I think the Iraqis need to determine their own future.
Brian, thanks.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir.
All right. Appreciate your call, Brian. We have a regular caller to this program, Stan, is an Air Force officer stationed over here in Augusta. I'm sorry, different officer. Okay, this is an Air Force officer who wants to remain anonymous. He has a question for you. Say hi to Stan Goff.
Hey, Stan, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm an anonymous Air Force officer. hey, first of all, you know, I like the show, Mike. I just found you on the Internet, and it's fantastic. You know, normally it sure beats the conservative stuff I normally catch on a daily basis.
I hear that.
However, I totally agree with you guys in the sense that both Operations Enduring Freedom and Iraqi Freedom, and I served in both of those, are almost an impossible task, being in both locations. However, what do you see as the outcome? First, your efforts in helping the guerrilla warfare that's going on right now. Do you think you're aiding the guerrilla warfare, or do you're aiding the Americans? And number two, what do you think will happen in Iraq if we pull out, or Afghanistan if we pull out? I mean, do you see a positive outcome? Do you see democracy in that area?
Okay, those are good questions. Let me get the answers online, caller. All right, Stan, what do you think? Oh, wait a minute. What did I do? Hang up on Stan? Yes, I did, didn't I? All right, hopefully. Why do I always do that, Gabby? I don't quite get that.
My favorite was when you
I
hung
really
up
don't.
On Tom Daschle.
Oh, my God. All right, while we're waiting for Stan to call back in, Bob is calling from Groton, PA. Bob, welcome to the program. Go ahead with your question, and we'll pick it up.
Yeah, well, certainly hoping Stan comment on this. One of the things, I'm just watching the Democratic candidates debate, and you know, several of them said several times in the course that America mustn't cut and run. You know, that very highly emotional charged phrase that just reminds me of Vietnam, you know, this whole notion. I mean, to me, the main lesson of Vietnam is that we're willing to kill nearly 60,000 of our people rather than make a mistake, admit a mistake.
Right.
And so, you know, I just don't know how realistic it is that this is going to become anything other than another Vietnam. You know, we just don't seem to be...
Yeah.
Willing to
okay,
be humble.
All right, let me bring Stan. Stan, I'm real sorry. I hit wrong buttons occasionally. Thank God I'm not working on a missile launcher, right? All right, Bob from Groton, Pennsylvania, has called in.
Just everything that was said, so...
Let's go back to the Air Force officer's call in a second. But right now, Bob from Groton, PA, has called in, and his question is the similarities between Iraq and the situation in Vietnam and how to avoid 60,000, almost 60,000 names on a wall someplace when this is over.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the question, isn't it? And I think, again, you know, we have to understand who's responsible for this. The most important thing we can do is to redeploy the campaign that was trying to stop the war as a campaign to stop the occupation. And we have to understand that we need a clear target for that, and the target is the National Command Authority. That is the executive branch of the United States government right now. They have to go. They have to go.
Yeah,
we need to create a political crisis on the scale of Watergate. That's the most important political task I think we have in front of us right now.
I think you're right. Bob, thank you. Let's go to the officer's question And I'm sure the question was sincere, whether or not activities like your organization or this program is aiding and abetting guerrilla warfare in that country by the other side. A.B., what people like you or people like me expect if we pull out regarding democracy in Afghanistan and Iraq? I know what my answer is right away, but let's hear yours.
Well, no, I don't think I'm aiding and abetting anyone. I think right now what I want to aid and abet is getting my son back home.
Sure.
And a lot of other people's families back home. And, again, to leave the Iraqis to determine what form of government and society they want to live in. This notion that we're going to export democracy, but does that mean we're going to export the kind of democracy where, you know, a handful of Supreme Court appointees overturn an election result? I mean, you know, the hypocrisy of even claiming that we're over there for some democratic purposes blows me. It's amazing to me that people don't yet understand that this was about gaining control over swing production of the world's energy resources.
That's right. Stan, can you hold one more time, and then we'll come back. We'll just do 3 or 4 minutes, and I'll let you go, I promise.
Okay.
All right, let me put you on hold for a second. We'll come right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy.
The fact is, in Afghanistan, more die than in New York, and most of them civilians. Hail Caesar! This is what you're fighting for. The king of death row, Texas, elected by his brother-in-law. Hail Caesar! This is what you're fighting for. Oil, money, Enron, the American Empire!
Hey, Mom, here's some good news. Tax rebate checks are here just in time for back-to-school shopping. And Sears will cash your tax rebate check free of charge with any purchase. Here's some more good news. Right now, during the Sears Great 3-Day Sale, save 50% on great back-to-school items throughout the store. Plus, all jeans are on sale. Brands like Levi's, Lee, Canyon River Blues, LEI, Bongo, and Mud. So hurry in now through Saturday. You don't want to miss the Great 3-Day Sale. 3-Day Sale ends August 16th. All jeans on sale through August 30th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears. Good life. Great price.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Taxes might be one of the few things in life that are certain, but taxes certainly don't have to be as grossly unfair as the political Scrooges in Washington make them. Take, for example, the massively regressive tax giveaways that Bush and his plutocratic cohorts in both parties have enacted. Having shoved the vast preponderance of this money up to the wealthiest Americans, they then tossed a political sop to middle-class families in the form of a $400 tax credit for children. They even touted this sop as deliverance on George W.'s favorite piece of political rhetoric, "Leave no child behind." That's a sweet slogan, but their delivery on it hit a sour note when it was revealed that they had, in fact, left lots of children behind. For example, the children in 6.5 million low-income working families were not included in Bush's bill. Public outrage at this exclusion has forced the Senate, under unrelenting pressure by Senator Blanche Lincoln of Arkansas, to pass another bill belatedly extending the child tax credit to these children. The House, however, where ideologically extreme Scrooges rule the roost, has refused to include the low-income children, Ain't going to happen, barked a smirking Tom DeLay, the Republican majority leader who is nuttier than a whole peanut factory. He says that low-income working families don't deserve the child tax credit because they don't pay taxes. Earth to Tom. While they don't pay federal income taxes, a disproportionate amount of their meager incomes go to paid gasoline taxes, sales taxes, and other assessments. Add up all the taxes, and the poor pay a bigger percentage of their incomes than do the rich. As for who deserves the tax credit, a million of the families Bush is scorning are U.S. military personnel, including 250,000 children of our soldiers who are on active duty. This is Jim Hightower saying, the next time Bush uses his Leave No Child Behind line, remember these children.
We take lives when we have to protect the people. That's how I look at it.
That's how you look at it, huh, partner? We're talking with Stan Goff, a decorated Vietnam veteran, a writer, activist, and one of the organizers, or the organizer, Bring Them Home Now campaign for our soldiers in Iraq. He, again, has a son in Iraq on active duty. He is also active in Veterans for Peace. BringThemHomeNow.org is a website you want to check out. I want to bring in Sean. Now, this is the guy I thought I was talking to a minute ago, Stan. This is Sean. He is in Augusta, Georgia. He is on active duty, and he uses the name Sean. That's not really his name. You got a question for Stan?
Yeah, Stan, thanks for coming on. Appreciate you doing this. I mean, a lot of us can't say, well, those of us on active duty really can't say a whole lot about what's going on. And,
oh, I know.
And, for fear of, you know.
Yeah, I was on active duty for over 20 years.
You understand. What can we do, though, if you don't mind my asking, what can we active duty personnel do to throw a monkey wrench in this to wake people up? I mean, I've been emailing my friends.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been careful about who I email, you know, making sure that I'm not sending it to someone who might rat me out or something.
Yeah, and don't forget our friends at the FBI with their carnivore program and all that stuff.
Yes.
Hold on just a second, everybody. Sean, let me get Stan to answer the question, but I'm going to have you get the answer off the internet because we just got a hell of a lot of feedback there. Sean's position is a lousy one, isn't it, Stan? First of all, when he took his oath, there's not a whole lot he can do.
That's right, and I'm not trying to encourage anybody to get themselves thrown in jail or get themselves busted, but by the same token, the people who are in the military are the best witnesses we have.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we have on the website is a place for people. There's a sound off. It's called a sound off button on the website. So I would refer people to the website. We have active duty military families and veterans, and we withhold names on request. And in fact, we have some stuff posted from people who are actually in theater in Iraq right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we get a lot of our information about what the real situation is on the ground over there. And the other thing is to...
Now, that's it. Bringthemhomenow.org?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
But it's important, too, just to pay attention and be able to bear witness later on, because we need to under the people on the left, people, progressives, who are politically active, are a group of people I've been trying to educate about the military. They have sort of some stereotypes about us in their minds,
mm-hmm.
That we're all, you know, programmed robot killers and all that stuff, and it's just not so.
Right.
We need to understand that most of us are, as some people refer to them, workers in uniform. We're just regular folks. A lot of time, and I went in the military, so I wouldn't go drive rivets in the same factory from where my parents were working.
Yeah.
And that economic draft gets a whole bunch of folks. And we're very diverse in our viewpoints and opinions. And a lot of us, I had another friend who just passed away this year that said all soldiers are political scientists. So y'all are important people. And even though sometimes you might be constrained in one way, take copious notes and be prepared to witness later on, and go to the website.
Yeah, that's real good advice. No matter what the situation is, really, people need to bear witness, whether it's a military situation, a political situation, or just a day-to-day life. Pay attention, keep your eyes open. and bear witness when the time comes. Stan, I want to say I know your son is going to make it back okay. I am absolutely convinced he will, and I certainly respect what you're doing. You have a lot of courage, my man. I hope we can talk again.
I do, too. Thanks very much for having me on.
All right, sir. You take care.
Good night.
All right. Stan Goff, decorated Vietnam veteran, activist, and writer. Active in the Bring Them Home Now campaign. Check them out. BringThemHomeNow.org.
Hands will we supply the weapons and funding for the annihilation of families on foreign soil. Not by our mouths will we let fear silence us. Not by our hearts will we allow all peoples or countries to be.
Hey, Mom, here's some good news. Tax rebate checks are here just in time for back-to-school shopping. And Sears will cash your tax rebate check free of charge with any purchase. Here's some more good news. Right now, during the Sears Great 3-Day Sale, save 50% on great back-to-school items throughout the store. Plus, all jeans are on sale. Brands like Levi's, Lee, Canyon River Blues, LEI, Bongo, and Mud. So hurry in now through Saturday. You don't want to miss the Great 3-Day Sale. 3-day sale ends August 16th. All jeans on sale through August 30th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears. Good life. Great price.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
A growing number of farmers are allowing wildlife to return to their land. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Across North America, farmers are backing away from rivers and wetlands, allowing forests to regenerate, and letting nature take its course on more of their acreage. Daniel Imhoff says more landowners are farming with the wild, and he's written a new book by that name.
Farming with the wild is the future of sustainable agriculture because it really starts to get it at the heart of what we want to sustain. Farming with the wild really attempts to orient a farm towards the local watershed, towards the local ecosystem, and to accommodate the whole range of native species and even the ecological processes like flooding and fire.
Imhoff's book looks at dozens of innovative farms in a variety of ecosystems, from the Louisiana Bayou to the plains of the Dakotas.
In addition to being a book about farming, it's really a book about how diverse our American landscape is, and we're really just looking at it through the lens of these farmers who are trying to have a farm that really truly accommodates the wildness.
Imhoff says many farmers are questioning some of the after effects of the so-called Green Revolution, which boosted productivity but turned their land into industrial production facilities.
What about the sedges and the grasses and the remnant oak forests and these places for the wild, too? They not only beautify the farm, they actually provide a lot of value from anything from wind or sun protection to harboring pollinators and beneficial insects to then also just allowing them to be stewards of the land.
Imhoff says farming with the wild can work on farms of any size. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
standing up to the flying monkey right. It's more of Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. We didn't talk about this, but if you're listening right now, we have a surprise for you. We're joined right now by Senator Elliot Shapley. He's one of the Texas 11 who have taken themselves out of the 11 senators from Texas who have taken themselves out of the Texas legislature in order to prevent the orders from Tom DeLay in Washington coming down the pipe to Texas to redistrict that state and to gerrymander out of positions of representation Democrats who would normally be in the congressional delegation to Washington. Senator Shapley, thanks for joining us.
Great to be with you.
I'm almost afraid to ask where you are for fear that they'll get your coordinates and send a missile.
Yeah, well, there have been bounty hunters after us, but I don't think we have any cruise missiles yet. We are in Washington, D.C. We spent the day with a number of media outlets to try and tell this story so more of the nation can know what's happening in Texas and, indeed, in Colorado, Ohio, and California. We call it recount, recall, and redistricting, the three R's.
Yeah, you know, it's almost like what happened in Florida in 2000 kind of taught the Republicans that if you can't win by getting the most votes, then either screw up the counting of the votes, or I think it was Joe Stalin said, you know, voting is no big deal. It's who counts the votes that has the big deal. But if you can't steal the election outright, then overturn elections or redistrict people out of elective office. What is going on here? That's a softball question for you.
Well, one congressman up here has called this the great heist of the 21st century. What Tom DeLay is trying to do in Texas is to take seven congressional seats and to do it by redrawing lines. We're calling it radical surgery to bypass voters and making impervious districts, that is, districts that any Republican can get elected in, particularly ones that he appoints.
Mm-hmm.
Frankly, what he's like trying to do is to get the U.S. speakership, the House speakership for Tom DeLay.
Right.
And this has been a seven-month process in Texas with a whole lot of twists and turns, but my favorite part of it, when the House members left the House for 4 days to kill it during our regular session, Tom DeLay's office called and got the newly minted Homeland Security to get its first test run by chasing down lawmakers from Texas. His office engaged Homeland Security to make that happen. So there's been a lot of different twists and turns, but the story here is if a majority can change the rules to get whatever they want done, then democracy loses. And that's what's happening in Texas today and in Colorado, frankly.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't DeLay's tactic or tactics, weren't DeLay's tactics using Homeland Security? Is that not illegal?
Well, the Homeland Security task force that looked into it called it wacko. And certainly it's illegal. It's illegal to even try and do that.
Right.
Homeland Security, as it turned out, told him that Homeland Security was not created to chase down political leaders. It was to chase down terrorists. I think for Tom DeLay, sometimes he gets the two intermixed. He is definitely behind this. He and Karl Rove have been up in Colorado. We visited with the Colorado senators who came down to Albuquerque. And what they told us is that in one day, they ran through a redistricting bill there and suspended every known constitutional rule. Let me give you an example. In Colorado, they're supposed to read the bill. You'd think that'd be political science 101.
Yeah.
What they did is they tore the bill up into 14 different sections and read it all at the same time. That's how they got the bill reading taken care of to satisfy that rule.
Mm-hmm.
When they got through redistricting, they eliminated the possibility of any hope of making a competitive seat on one of those seats up there. And the Colorado senators who came down to talk to us were the first ones to alert us to this national pattern of abuse that we're seeing.
You know, I have to tell you that having done talk radio for a number of years and been with this network for the past three, which almost perfectly dovetails with the theft of the presidency by the Republicans back in 2000, that I'm getting a very clear sense that while there's not a big uproar being made right now, But it's there that the American public is starting to get the sense that I think a lot of people who report on politics or who are in politics understand that the Republican Party has truly become corrupt. Now, a lot of Republicans can say the same thing about Democrats. But what I'm sensing is that the American public just about had enough where it concerns either the canceling or the usurpation of their vote by Republicans. And there is going to be a reaction to this. When you add these attempts at theft, and some of them successful, in Texas, Colorado, California, Florida, God only knows what's going to happen with these Diebold voting machines. When you add that into the mix of the total incompetency of George Bush, whether it's domestic policy or foreign policy, I'll tell you, Senator, I get the sense from a lot of emails, a lot of calls, a lot of people that we're reaching a tipping point with the American public.
Well, I believe what you're saying, having been in the middle of this maelstrom. We went up to Colorado at the invitation of the Colorado senators to address folks up there, and with 4 hours of notice, they had 300 people. The Colorado minority leader who invited us said she'd never seen so many people that she didn't know. And clearly something is happening. People are being awakened to this threat to democracy. And if we're not willing, each one of us as citizens, to stand up to check what is an abuse of power, then at the end that abuse of power may engulf all of us. And we're seeing it in Texas. What happened in Colorado was an outrage. And I think more and more people are hearing what's happening in both these states and beginning to react.
You know, we carried Jim Hightower on this program, and of course, one of my favorite writers is Molly Ivins. Favorite political columnist is Molly Ivins. She refers to Rick Perry, of course, as Rick Goodhair Perry. Is there nothing that Rick Perry? Or let me rephrase it. Does Rick Perry not understand that what he's doing, if not illegal, is certainly unfair?
Rick Perry is taking directions from Tom DeLay. Tom DeLay walks into Texas and tells Rick Perry what to do. He's told David Dewhurst, our lieutenant governor, what to do. They have no choice in the matter. They are told from Washington what their orders are, and they are doing them.
Wow.
But David Dewhurst was elected as an independent lieutenant governor. We had high hopes for him. He started out saying redistricting is not a priority in Texas. We need to balance the budget and take care of some big issues. By March, Tom DeLay had changed his tune. What he was telling Texans was, we have 21 votes to get this done. And when we blocked it with Senate rules that are now 100 years old in Texas, he said, we're going to change those rules.
Mm-hmm.
This needs to happen. That is what is happening in Texas today.
You know, in so many states, sadly, a lot of them here in the South, here in Georgia, right next door to us in Alabama, you have situations where, and Texas, where there are political messes that need to be cleaned up. There are environmental messes, there are education messes, there are budgetary messes. And yet, these issues are not being addressed. How much longer, let's stick with Texas, how much longer can Texas handle, first of all, the budget crisis you all have, secondly, the education crisis, thanks to Rod Page, apparently, just crisis after crisis after crisis. In the meantime, Tom DeLay steps in and says, well, let's play games, boys. How much longer can Texas sustain this?
Well, it's interesting because Texas had a $10 billion deficit. Each one of these sessions costs $1.7 million. We're now headed into our third special session, our fourth session overall. When Texans came to testify, 90% of them said, this is not a priority.
Mm-hmm.
Balance the budget, make schools happen for kids, get some health insurance in place. No one came and said, this is a priority for us. But when Tom DeLay has something in his mind, and when that involves his power, realize it's all about Tom DeLay becoming Speaker of the U.S. House. I'll tell you, he doesn't take no for an answer mm-hmm. from anybody. And he has frankly dictated to the governor, to the lieutenant governor, and they have followed his lead. They have called two special sessions, and I believe by September the 15th, he will call a third. And I hope more and more Americans will take note of what's happening in Texas, because not only is it an issue in our legislature, but it will affect every American. Not only does it affect what the outcome is in the U.S. Congress, rules in a democracy can be run over at any time that a majority wants to win, then democracy loses.
Mm-hmm. All right, now, you said you're in D.C. I would imagine you're not there for the weather. What is your plan? What do you have a plan?
We came to D.C. to three of us senators are here. Leticia Van Depute and Rodney Ellis and I are here. And we went on a number of TV shows, radio stations to get the word out. A lot of folks think this is just Texas. This is Democrats mm-hmm. fighting with Republicans. It is not. It is a national emerging issue. It is an abuse of power. So we wanted folks to know that. We have filed back in Texas a federal lawsuit in the Laredo District Court asking a judge to reinstate a 100-year-old rule that was set aside so that they could achieve this illegal result. And what we are saying is, for the first time in Texas history, that protects the voices of minorities. And we're asking that court to reinstate that. That hearing is in Laredo on September the 11th. So we have executed a plan. We're very hopeful. But we are resolute in our defense of democracy.
At Salon.com, I don't know if you're familiar with this article, but it says that although few are saying it openly, the delay, Karl Rove power grab in Austin is really about keeping white control of an increasingly Latino state. Is there any element of truth to that, in your opinion?
There is no question. If there are seven new congressmen added, and we have the reauthorization of the Voting Rights Act in 2006, what will happen is that Texas will be removed from the coverage of that act. And frankly, what will happen is the browns and blacks in Texas will be packed into highly concentrated minority districts, and the what is essentially Anglo-suburban power will be extended into the next decade. This is about an electoral college strategy for the next 20 years by the Republican Party. Mm-hmm. It has enormous consequences for the whole country.
Well, I have to tell you that I certainly respect the Texas 11. I understand that you had one, dare I call it a defection. One of the people in your group went back to Texas today, but his point is he's going to try a different tactic. And we'll get to that in a second. But let me just get a call or two in here for you, Senator. Trey is calling from Dallas, Texas. Trey, you're on with Senator Shapley.
Yes, hi. I'm in Dallas. I know people down in Sugar Land. I've been to Sugar Land. Sugar Land looks like it's got a lot of nice neighborhoods. How did Tom DeLay get into power down there? I mean, I know there's some smart people in Sugar Land down there, and I'm just wondering if the senator can give us some background on where Tom DeLay came from, and how does he have all those people down there in Sugar Land hoodwinked?
All right, thanks, Trey.
Well, Tom DeLay has served in the Texas House for a number of years before he became congressman, and there is an article on Salon.com, an extensive article about Tom DeLay, and particularly his links to large donors and money. His modus operandi has always to stay around money, to raise a lot of money, and to let that be his entree into increased power. He's got a PAC that he set up on the House side. He's raised $12 million in that PAC. He uses that for some 60-odd lieutenants that he has in the U.S. House. And he has really become a national force.
Mm-hmm.
He is also one of a series of extreme radical Republicans in Texas. If you look at the lineup in Washington from Rove to DeLay, Dick Armey, who's now no longer in the U.S. House, is from Texas.
Mm-hmm.
There are a series of radical extremists, I call them, from Texas, who are really branding the Republican Party nationally and moving it extremely to the right. And Tom DeLay is without question the leader of that movement.
You say you're in D.C. mostly to make some appearances so the rest of the country can understand how serious this issue is. And I completely agree with you on that point. But are you also seeking any kind of political help from national Democrats? And if so, I'm just trying to think what kind of help they could give you.
Well, actually, what we're seeking even more, at least immediately, is some help to pay the hotel bill.
Well, that, yeah.
We've been in this hotel now for 38 straight days, and we've taken trips to different communities. But the legal bills in Laredo for filing of that lawsuit and having a very highly talented team of attorneys, being in this hotel room, we are also trying to talk to different groups to assist us in helping raise money to pay those bills.
Well, I hope the DNC is going to kick in something.
Well, the DNC and the DCCC, we've talked to them, but really this is about people. We had a very interesting offer, and we took it up from MoveOn.org. I've never been involved with that organization, but 33,000 Americans gave contributions of $30 each or more, amounting to a little over $1 million, to really let the nation know about this issue. And unfortunately, we cannot use that because of the arrangement we have for hotel bills or legal fees. But, for example, in today's New York Times, there's a full-page ad on page 9 outlining what is happening.
Right.
So people are beginning to find out about it, and certainly coming to the nation's capital and being in the nerve center. We're at the National Press Club today. It has helped us greatly to put the word out, and I think you'll see more and more political leaders take note of this. The presidential candidates are in Albuquerque tonight, and a number of them came and visited our remaining senators over there to express their support. So I think you're beginning to see this story get out.
Well, you know, it's an old Chinese curse, Senator. May you live in interesting times. If anything, these are interesting times. I completely support what you're doing, and I think the majority of the American people, once they understand what you're doing, and the fight that that you guys are putting up, it's not solely about redistricting in Texas. There are several larger issues here, and I think the American people are going to support that. Thank you so much for taking time to talk with us.
We appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
All right, sir. Take care. Senator Elliot Shapley is one of the Texas 11. He joined us from Washington, D.C. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
What my daddy would have done if he'd seen the way they turned his dream around. I gotta go by what he told me, try to tell the truth and stand your ground. Don't let the bastards get you down.
Don't let
Mom, Dad,
someone's gonna try and get me to take drugs.
Wanna do something about it?
You're gonna have to make me tell you where I am and who I'm with every day. Don't like the sound of that?
Tuck, you gotta be the grown-up.
Kids with involved parents are less likely to try drugs. So ask them who, what, where, when. Questions. They're the anti-drug.
Call 1-800-729-6686 for more information. Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
Hey, Mom, here's some good news. Tax rebate checks are here just in time for back-to-school shopping. And Sears will cash your tax rebate check free of charge with any purchase. Here's some more good news. Right now, during the Sears Great 3-Day Sale, save 50% on great back-to-school items throughout the store. Plus, all jeans are on sale. Brands like Levi's, Lee, Cannon River Blues, LEI, Bongo, and Mud. So hurry in now through Saturday. You don't want to miss the Great 3-Day Sale. 3-day sale ends August 16th. All jeans on sale through August 30th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears. Good life. Great price.
Hi, folks. Jesse Ventura here to talk to you about InPhone, the advanced, enhanced, totally modern directory assistance available all across this great country of ours. Just dial 888-411-1111, and the super-friendly operator will help you access phone numbers or movie times, even driving directions to the theater. So call InPhone at 888-411-1111 and tell them Governor Jesse sent you. InPhone. How can we help you?
Only 89 cents for any call up to 15 minutes. Only 5 cents a minute after that. Your first 5 calls are free.
When I wear black, even a little dandruff shows. And my old dandruff shampoo just wasn't cutting it. I still had flakes and dry scalp. So I switched to Selsun Blue Moisturizing Shampoo with aloe and moisturizers. Doctor recommended Selsun Blue has a proven ingredient to relieve dandruff. Plus, it keeps my hair and scalp healthy and flake-free.
If you see flakes, try Selsun Blue. Selsun Blue Moisturizing Dandruff Shampoo.
I'm telling you, it really works.
Never wear black without the blue. Selsun Blue. Use as directed.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Show. Jody in Arlington Heights, she said, first, yesterday's show was the first time I was seriously concerned for your health. I hope you've recovered. You know, I'm fine. I get crazy. My blood pressure skyrockets. I understand that. I have a pretty good doctor who recently put me on blood pressure medicine, and it seems to be working. There have been times when I've done talk radio when I thought I was going to burst an artery, but that would make for good radio, wouldn't it?
Hey, did you hear him? My wife programmed the other night. Some bitch died right on the air. There was this popping sound. Woo, man. Cool. I bet Rush couldn't do that.
Sorry. Didn't mean to frighten you. You're a bit late for that.
Hey, let me just...
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
You'll be seeing a lot of changes around here.
The new weekend programming lineup is more entertaining than ever. Kicking off Saturday mornings with Doug Steffen's Talk Radio Countdown, followed by Bobby Likas Car Clinic. Then Saturdays are brightened with the informative antics of Animal Talk, followed by the home improvement experts on Home Improvement USA. If you've been wondering about that old so-called junk, then you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent, followed by Talking Pets with John Patch. Learn your job rights on Sunday mornings with the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. And the latest in the world of technology on Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline. Ramblin' with Ramsey will fill you into the hot spots to travel, followed by the second installment of the funniest live animal talk show, Animal Talk.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
For more information on these shows or other shows on IE America Radio Network, call 1-800-397-8255. But for now, listen to us live on IEAmericaRadio.com.
That's right.
Hey, conservatives, here comes your worst nightmare. It's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. Hey, if you're on hold, stick around. We have a break coming up here in just a minute, and then we'll be back for the final hour. Don't forget, this is our final hour for, thank you, God, over a week. We're going to take 6 working days off. We will be back September on the air September 15th, I believe, and filling in tomorrow night and part of next week will be Guy James, the Guy James program, and Curtis Ellis, then the rest of next week. So if you want to get it said for a while, you know, every time we take one of these weeks off, you know, Kathy and I look at each other towards the middle of it and say, do we really want to go back? I'm serious. I'm serious as a heart attack. Do we really want to go back? Our webmaster, and the originator of the site, WhiteRoseSociety.org, Ben in Elgin, Illinois, also our bureau chief there, wrote in, I've been thinking about this issue for some time. What is the Bush plan for stealing the election in 2004? Ben writes this in regard to what we were just talking about with the Texas senator. Ben writes, well, it now seems unlikely that the touch screen voting machines will be able to be used without real intense scrutiny. So they must have already gone to Plan B. What is Plan B? It must meet several criteria. First, it must be able to get Bush reelected. Second, it must be possible to do in a venue where the people cannot interfere. Three, it must at least meet some legal fiction of being legitimate. And fourth, it cannot be done by the Supreme Court this time, though they could use the court in a passive way, such as in refusing to hear a case. There is one way that comes to mind, Ben writes, and they telegraphed it to us during the 2000 Florida debacle. They mean to have state legislatures in selected red states meet after the general election, void the selection of electors by the popular vote, and slate electors who will vote for George W. Bush. This was their threat in Florida in 2000 when it looked like the recount might go ahead. And I believe that they plan to roll out this tactic again next year. And this is why they are pushing all of the recall attempts against Democratic governors to get a man in office who will not veto this rig job. That's kind of scary. That's kind of scary indeed. But you and I both know, and so does Ben, obviously, a lot of people understand, those of us on the progressive right, who still have a mind left, as opposed to the neoconservative thugs who patrol this country now, like so many night-stalking vermin. George W. Bush is not going to go quietly. These people want to destroy representative government. And I say, that's not going to happen. All right, quick break. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy.
To Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
What do you think I like about communing with nature as much as I do? Being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? Yeah, that's you're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. President Bush is accusing Senate Democrats of shameful behavior in blocking the vote for federal judicial nominee Miguel Estrada. Bush said he withdrew Estrada's nomination with regret and said it was a result of, quote, disgraceful treatment at the hands of Democrats in the Senate. Former federal prosecutor Bob Bittman says the Democrats are touting the refusal to answer certain questions posed to Estrada, but those questions have never been required in any other nomination hearing.
It was absolutely unprecedented in the history of the Senate to request the documents that Mr. Estrada prepared while he was at the Justice Department. Every Democratic Solicitor General living opposed that, even though they had said that this has never been required in the history of the Senate, and we oppose your trying to do this.
Estrada was filibustered by Senate Democrats for nearly 2 years, claiming he was too conservative to hold the bench and had radical ideological views. Alleged survivors of abuse by pedophile priests will get to tell their stories to the new leader of priests in Boston, Archbishop Sean O'Malley. He will attend a settlement session with some of the plaintiffs on Saturday. Survivor David Carney wants to be heard.
I didn't say money. I'm not here. It's not about money. Right now, it's not about money. He wants to talk to me. I want to tell him what happened to me. But one thing I haven't yet said is a dollar amount of anything.
The church has offered $65 million to settle cases brought by more than 550 alleged victims. Lawyers for the plaintiffs have reportedly been seeking between $90 and $120 million to settle the cases. The Boston Globe reports O'Malley is trying to get the money from insurance companies that provided coverage to the archdiocese when the alleged abuse took place. While Bishop of Fall River, O'Malley successfully sued insurers for the money in cases against that diocese.
Men and women, do you remember when you were thin? You look great no matter what clothes you put on. Now that great-looking body you once had no longer has to be a memory. Introducing Fat Inferno. Fat Inferno is a new diet supplement that cuts carbohydrates and increases your metabolism, all in one tablet. Fat Inferno boosts your metabolism so you burn off more calories even while you rest. In clinical trials performed on the active ingredients in Fat Inferno, people lost 320% more weight. So if you love to eat and don't want to count calories, fat, or carbs anymore, try Fat Inferno. And with Fat Inferno, you'll melt away up to 7 pounds of ugly fat in the first week and one dress or pant size every 2 weeks thereafter, guaranteed. So if you love to eat, now you'll love to lose. Call now for your risk-free trial. Fat Inferno is safe, clinically proven, and guaranteed to work. Call toll-free 1-800-482-6158. That's 1-800-482-6158. 1-800-482-6158.
The city of Philadelphia will be the first to partner with Microsoft to produce the high school of the future. Wanda Miles of Microsoft says the partnership will result in a high school built from the ground up to provide the high-tech education students will require in the future.
This will enable students to do things such as have access to their homework when they are home due to illness. This will allow parents to be able to interact with their child's teacher directly online.
Students might have a paperless school by using electronic books, laptops, or tablet-based personal computers. Plans are to have the school ready for the students by 2006.
Whether you've got bald tires, a flat tire, old tires, or are just tired of looking at white walls, there's no better time to pick up a new set of Goodyear tires than during National Automotive Month at Sears Auto Center. Because Goodyear tires are all on sale. And get a free DieHard Weather Handler battery worth $59.99 when you buy four Goodyear tires. Just bring in your old battery and we'll exchange it free. But only during National Automotive Month and only at Sears Auto Center. Sears, good life, great price. Sale and free battery offer end 8/23. Find us online at Sears.com or America Online, keyword Sears.
Philadelphia Republican mayoral candidate Sam Katz has landed a major endorsement. Katz has been given the support of the Teamsters Union. Frank Gillen of the Teamsters says they want a change in City Hall to preserve union jobs in Philadelphia.
We feel there has to be jobs to come to this city, especially the food center here where there's talk over in Jersey that they want these jobs. We want these jobs to stay here. They're Teamsters jobs, and that comes to us first.
Katz got an air horn salute as he climbed onto the flatbed trailer used for the announcement, saying the Teamsters' endorsement is important to his winning the November election. Another up day for Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrial Average hit a new 52-week high, gaining 19 points to close at 95.87. The tech-heavy NASDAQ hit a 17-month closing high, gaining 16 points to end the day at 1868. The S&P 500 pushed up 2 points to close the trading session at 1028. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Cucumbers, jazz, Gwyneth Paltrow, and khakis. Speaking of cool things, how's your vehicle's cooling system stacking up for the summer? Don't sweat it. When I come back, I'll tell you how to chill out. We've all seen the Tornado device on TV and wondered if it really worked. I was also skeptical at first, until we tested 6 Tornado units, and in every case, we got more miles per gallon and felt more power. Gasoline's expensive, so when we find something that saves us money, it just makes sense to get it. Call 800-500-8880 and order your Tornado unit today, or visit TornadoAir.com. It's hot, and you're working hard. You can't go another foot till you cool off. Aha! Now you know how your car feels. In fact, overheating's the number one cause of breakdowns. Like our bodies have a cooling system, cars do too. They rely on radiators to keep their engines from boiling over. To properly cool, these systems must be maintained with correct proportions and levels of coolant water mixture. So this summer, think cool, calm, and collect the money saved by radiator check. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. You know, I was listening to our newscast there, the little soundbite, and they've been all over the place. These little whiny ass Republicans who are just have their bloomers in such a tight little wad because Miguel Estrada backed down, couldn't stand the fight, and the Democrats managed to, in their inimitable way, run this thug out of town. But it's just, isn't it just exciting? It is to me. I mean, I get some kind of a blood rush when I listen to, like, the, whatever this freak was that was quoted on our newscast there.
All the other solicitor generals are Democrats. It's never been done before. Nobody ever asked what nominee. Blah, 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 blah.
Well, yeah, maybe the guy's right, but that's because other nominees have not been radicalized neo-fascists like this Miguel Estrada. And half the people, 80% of the people that the Bush crime family puts up for nomination, you know, the Democrats and the Republicans in the Senate have already confirmed 100 of these thugs. 100 of them. At the same time, in Clinton's first administration, these whiny-ass Democrats, what did Clinton have? 4 confirmed? That's one of the reasons there are so many openings on the federal bench, because the Republicans held up the nominations of Bill Clinton. Moderates or conservatives, because that's what Bill Clinton was, a conservative Democrat. When I hear these Republicans whine, I don't know, it makes me just reach for a can of Raid. You know, I just want to spritz them with Raid and say, get out of here, you little crybabies, you little schoolroom bullies, you little playground thugs, get out of here. Look what you're doing in Texas. Look what you're doing in Colorado. Look what you did in Florida. Look what you're doing in California. You little whiny asses. God, I hate them. I just hate them at the very bottom of my soul. Little crybabies.
Oh, you wanted Miguel to sit there and answer questions. We don't need to answer questions. That damn Tom Daschle, he did it. No. Bill Clinton did it.
Make me want to vomit. Ruth is calling from Orlando, Florida. Hey, Ruth. I'm sorry.
Wait a minute.
Sure.
I've been sitting here for a half an hour. Right?
I know you have.
Now you're going to make me laugh when I should be talking.
I know. My bad.
Oh, my God. Okay, so, like, I originally called because I had a question from Mr. Goff. But then we moved on from that. See, and then you had the representative from Texas. But then we moved on from that.
I know. It's just been a real whirlwind of a program tonight.
It's been wonderful.
Yeah.
Anyway, listen. You know, you were just talking before the break, you were talking about the election that's coming up and what is the dark ultimate plan, because we know they have a dark evil ultimate plan.
I don't see anything wrong with what Ben is saying, that this is their plan. They're just going to negate the popular vote and have the electors. You know, a lot of us, probably you, have been trying to figure out, I know I have, why in the hell we still have the Electoral College. Maybe back 200 years ago when we Americans were... There weren't enough of us, or political power was parceled out in a different way. Maybe they need the Electoral College, but why do we need it now, if not to thwart the will of the public?
Well, which states are the states that have the most electoral votes? Texas, Pennsylvania, Ohio, California, New York, Florida.
Florida, right.
Florida's off the chart already because Jeb's here,
right.
And I'm in Florida. And I was in, I told you before, I was in the polls on Election Day last time. I saw what went on. I knew it was bogus. We knew within 2 hours after the polls closed that there was something seriously wrong.
Right.
Anyway, and New York, okay. Florida's taken care of. New York, they just showed us that if we go to all electronic voting machines, that they can take care of that in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
They can take Florida off the map during the election period. The other states, what occurred to me during the break is, if you get governors in who are beholden to Carl,
right?
You know, what power do governors have? They call out National Guards.
Yeah.
Okay? So we get into a situation where we have questionable elections for whatever, and people start to revolt or get upset or anything like that,
uh-huh.
We call out the National Guard.
Sure.
We have control of the media. We call out the National Guard. You know, I have absolutely no faith right now, none, that there will be a legitimate election.
Well, I don't either. The only caveat or qualifier I would put is a legitimate election is not planned. Now, there may be enough people at MoveOn.org or Democrats.com or Take Back the Media or you and me and him and her. There may be enough people to stop what these thugs have in mind. But I think, Ruth, that, you know, I tend to agree with you. A legitimate election is not being planned.
No.
We are going to have an election like you have in so-called third world countries. That's what they're planning.
Yes.
Elections like they had in Mexico for years, where one political party controlled everything since the Mexican Revolution. That's what they have in mind here, and the Republicans. I'm just hoping that enough of us understand this now, that when the rubber hits the road, if it takes people in the streets, and I'm not talking about just parading around saying, hell no, we won't go. If it takes people in the streets demanding that this government stop this nonsense and get back to reality, I have a feeling it'll happen. I'm ready.
I'm rapidly getting there. And I did want to say one thing about Mr. Goff when he was there talking.
Yeah.
He had two questions that he was saying that we should be asking.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that? There is a third question that constantly needs to be brought up, and that is who is profiting. And that must never stop being brought up, because
that
is behind. These people aren't thinking into the future. They are only thinking into what they can loot, plunder, put in their pocket now, just in case they do get thrown out. Because it won't matter if they're not in power in the White House if they've taken all the money.
That's absolutely true. And it doesn't matter to them if Stan Goff's kid dies, your kid, my kid.
It doesn't matter.
That's just the price that they're willing to have us pay for their greed and their power trip.
And that's not even mentioning the Iraqi children that they bombed. None of those matter. They're not even human to them.
No, they are not.
You know. So anyway, now that I've been cheerful, I'm
thanks, Ruth.
Bye.
All right. I appreciate you checking in. Before I go back to your calls, I just have to go back to this. We did this right before, I think right before we had Stan Goff on, about Christy Whitman. Jesus. Now you know why she retired, why she bailed out. What'd she say? She wanted to be with her family. Hugh Kaufman, who was has been with the EPA since it was founded in 1971. He was the chief investigator for the EPA's ombudsman's office, but he was removed because he issued critical reports, you see, about the EPA. Kaufman sued, and the Labor Department ordered the EPA to reinstate him. They determined that Kaufman, quote, had been prohibited from performing his duties in reprisal for performing a too effective job in support of the ombudsman program. So he was ordered, it was ordered, that he be reinstated. So how did Christy Whitman respond? In 2002, she dissolved the ombudsman's office altogether and transferred its duties to the inspector general. You know, a lot of people say, well, Christy Whitman, you know, she wasn't all that bad. You know, she was really kind of a liberal Republican. She was just up against it. You know, that's a lie. Christy Whitman is a thug and a criminal just like the rest of them. Now, why do I say that? Well, here's what Hugh Kaufman said today. The EPA, under Whitman, told us that Lower Manhattan was safe and not contaminated, you know, after the bombings on September 11th. Based on that false information, the insurance companies saved hundreds of millions of dollars. One of those insurance companies was Citigroup, with which Mrs. Whitman's family has substantial economic ties. Mrs. Whitman's husband, John, used to be a Citigroup officer and is now the managing partner of Sycamore Ventures, a half-billion-dollar venture capital firm that was spun out of Citigroup but still manages a substantial amount of the company's money. The World Trade Center area contains contaminants including asbestos, fine particles, lead, PCBs, dioxin, fiberglass, and other hazardous materials. These chemicals have spread throughout Lower Manhattan and have landed in apartments, in schools, and in office buildings. The EPA itself has done tests and found contaminants, and in fact used their own testing as a basis to properly clean up their own regional headquarters building, which is based in Lower Manhattan. The first responders received the major acute problems, and of course we're seeing now that over half of those first responders are sick. It is possible that a large number of them will die early because of cancer and other health effects. This is just, how much more are we going to take? Oh, calm down. Jesus, I get this way the night before vacation, right? But, I mean, really, we sit here and talk about this like this is rational and normal or just slightly out of the norm, slightly irrational? Christine Todd Whitman and her family involved with Citigroup? So the order comes down, even though the inspector general for the EPA says, look, nobody should go in there. That's Death Valley. And what does Christy Todd Whitman do? What does the Bush crime family, what do these filthy dogs do? They eliminate the parts of these reports that could have allowed people to prepare, to prevent the cancers and the degenerative diseases they're going to experience now, and the birth defects and the miscarriages. If they just would have said, look, that place is a toxic soup. Don't go near it until it's cleaned out. But they did not. Is this not impeachable? Is it not impeachable? What the hell has to happen before this crime family is removed from office? What? Dear God, what? It's just an outrage. And every day. Now, you know, we were trying to figure, well, why did the EPA do this? Well, Bush and his thugs, his murderous cadre of thugs, wanted Wall Street to open. You know, Bush and his murderous cadre of traitors didn't want their buddies in the insurance industry to have to pay huge claims. Now we find out that the director of the EPA, who had the power to censor, change, eliminate this report, had a financial interest to the tune of $500 million to change the facts, to destroy the truth. Jesus!
How many people have died?
Hey mom, here's some good news. Tax rebate checks are here just in time for back to school shopping. And Sears will cash your tax rebate check free of charge with any purchase. Here's some more good news. Right now during the Sears Great 3-Day Sale, save 50% on great back to school items throughout the store. Plus all jeans are on sale. Brands like Levi's, Lee, Canyon River Blues, LEI, Bongo, and Mud. So hurry in now through Saturday. You don't want to miss the Great 3-Day Sale. 3-day sale ends August 16th. All jeans on sale through August 30th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears. Good life. Great price.
Wouldn't it be great if you could get everything you need for successful estate planning in one package? Well, now you can. The new Master Estate Kit offers a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free Family Legal Guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
The time.
Bob Hartman Show.
The computerized voting machines in the last election. Our question is the theft of your vote. On our chat room here, Brain Shrub points out that H is the eighth letter of the alphabet. A is the first letter of the alphabet. So if you take that 18181, the exact number of votes that three different candidates in one county in Texas got on these computerized voting machines, and you simply convert it to letters, it becomes... Is it a conspiracy or a coincidence?
Okay, first of all, I wanted to say congratulations. We were elected to the White House by one of the narrowest margins in history. 63% of registered voters.
Wait a second. You wanted me to poll registered voters?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Tick Tick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
Narwhal.
Talk. We talk Oscar. About what you do to your animals Whale. And what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Ostrich.
Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Vampire bat.
Yeah.
Zebra.
I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off...
Why?
...is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name Carly.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
I knew that the farther we got away from September the 11th, the more likely it would be that I would continue to have to convince people that we live in a dangerous world, and we do.
Talk Yes is where we are. Clint is calling from Dearborn, Michigan. Clint, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. How are you doing tonight?
Doing fine, sir.
After that little bit of hysteria again over Bush, huh?
Oh, God.
I wanted to call because I enjoyed you having Stan Goss' name.
Yeah, Goff, G-O-F-F.
Oh, okay. I thought he was really good. I mean, he, and having that gentleman that calls in from one of the bases down there.
In Augusta, uh-huh.
Yeah, it just, you know, we think with all of our problems that we're having with Bush about what these folks are going through, and it's, you know, it's just,
mm-hmm.
We're going through nothing compared to what they're going through.
That's very true.
And I just wanted to first call and say that I appreciated, you know, hearing their opinions as I always do on you know, topics like these, because it just infuriates me, too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That story about Citibank and Chrissy Todd Whitman, that really enrages me.
Citigroup, and I think there's a difference between Citigroup and Citibank. They're all part of the same corporate thuggish octopus, but
yeah.
Citigroup. Yeah, that story, that was a real shocker. I have been willing... in my own mind, and perhaps in a sarcastic way on this program, to cut Christy Todd Whitman a little bit of slack, but no longer. I mean, once again, I find out what my gut, my suspicions have always told me in the past 20 years, that all Republicans, every single one of them,
mm-hmm.
are liars, thugs, thieves, sneaks. They are anti-democracy, anti-freedom, anti-American, and they support mass murderers and people who don't care about destroying half the world. So, I should listen to that still small voice inside my head that says, Mike, Christy Todd Whitman is no different from George Bush, just a different gender, a little bit lower keyed, but she's still a thug, a thief, and a con artist.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I can't separate out Citigroup and Citibank, because isn't Citibank, according to Greg Palast, one of the big banks and involved in money laundering for the
yeah rookies? Oh yeah, they're all tied together. I didn't mean to say it's not the same thing. It is the same thing. It's just that I just thought that we should say Citigroup.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's who he was, who he worked for, and continues to handle $500 million worth of their money,
mm-hmm.
As opposed to Citibank. But yeah, there it's just you know it's like somebody saying that you and your cousin are not related. Of course you are.
Yeah,
right.
I know when I had to deal with a customer service problem with the Citibank card that I had, I was talking to one of the gals and I said, you know, I'm getting really disappointed with your bank. I said, and she says, why? Because I hear that your bank is involved in money laundering for all sorts of crooked things. And she says, where'd you get that?
Yeah.
And I said, well, I could send you the article on it.
And she said, no, don't. I'll lose my job.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Hey, Clint, thanks for checking in, pal.
Okay, and I'm looking forward to hearing you on WSDS, which I can pick up.
Oh, that's the station in Ypsilanti.
Yeah, we can just barely get it here in Dearborn.
Oh, great. It's stronger at night, I've been told,
mm-hmm.
because a lot of the babble on the airwaves disappears. A lot of stations power down, and I think WSDS powers up.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people that work out in Ann Arbor that are looking forward to hearing you.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait to and it'll be great, Clint. You'll be able, hopefully, to actually hear us on a radio.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Thanks, Clint.
You take care.
All right, sir. We appreciate you checking in. Clint emailed me that MapQuest thing to show me exactly where it is. Hell, my sister and brother-in-law might be able to pick up the program. They live in Toledo. Quick break. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Hey, Mom, here's some good news. Tax rebate checks are here just in time for back-to-school shopping. And Sears will cash your tax rebate check free of charge with any purchase. Here's some more good news. Right now, during the Sears Great 3-Day Sale, save 50% on great back-to-school items throughout the store. Plus, all jeans are on sale. Brands like Levi's, Lee, Canyon River Blues, LEI, Bongo, and Mud. So hurry in now through Saturday. You don't want to miss the Great 3-Day Sale. 3-day sale ends August 16th. All jeans on sale through August 30th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears, good life, great price.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
United Airlines will be bankrupt longer than expected as it struggles to stay in the air. This spring, executives predicted finishing the company's financial reorganization in September. In bankruptcy court last week, though, they testified to a new deadline of sometime in the first half of next year at the earliest. United's union employees signed new labor contracts, including $2.5 billion worth of wage and benefit concessions, made in the name of getting United back into friendly fiscal skies, but that may not be enough now for the company. Like many others, it is lobbying heavily in Washington this week for legislation to skip or delay next year's required payments into worker pension funds, which at United are underfunded to the tune of $6 billion.
Though a contract covering hundreds of thousands of auto workers with the nation's big three car makers doesn't expire until September 14th, the United Auto Workers want a new contract hashed out by tomorrow. Negotiators have been spotted bringing toothbrushes and a change of clothes to talks in Detroit this week, where the UAW hopes to hold the line on health care costs and is reportedly trying to win an agreement that would give its organizers greater access to auto parts suppliers. While workers at roughly half of parts suppliers once belonged to the UAW, in recent years that number has slipped below 25%.
A shocking indictment of farming in South Africa by the country's own Human Rights Commission. A report released this week based on 2 years' worth of research finds a quote, quote, culture of violence within farming communities in several provinces. Some examples, white farmers regularly beat and threaten black hires, often sicking dogs on them. Child labor is widespread, and some farmers pay their hired help not in cash, but in alcohol, usually moonshine, a practice supposedly outlawed a decade ago.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them.
Well,
stop. A few more years
on them. No. I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
And now, the man conservatives love to hate. It's Mike Malloy.
Hey, welcome back. 27 before the hour. We're at 800 Talk, yes. I'll come to your calls here in just a second, but it may be time for a very brief Uncle Mike story corner. Well, gather around, kiddies. I see you all have your jammies on. A little warm milk in your tummies. Oh, good. Before you toddle off to bed, have a seat. Uncle Mike's story hour tonight, story corner, comes from Tom Broadbeck, writing for the Winnipeg Sun. Saving Shoshana Johnson. That's got a nice ring to it. And it has all the elements of a blockbuster Hollywood movie. A female U.S. POW captured by Iraqi forces, paraded on Islamic TV, a victim of the war on terrorism, and a mother of a two-year-old girl back home. That script writes itself, except for one thing. The 30-year-old Army cook, Shoshana Johnson, from El Paso, Texas, isn't white, and she isn't a cute petite blonde. She ain't no Goldie Hawn, and she ain't no Private Jessica Lynch, who inked a $1 million book deal this week after she was injured in a motor vehicle accident when her convoy was ambushed during a tour in Iraq earlier this year. Shoshana Johnson's story was straightforward. Her 507th maintenance company was ambushed by Iraqi troops during the opening days of the invasion of Iraq. She was shot at, injured, and held captive for 21 days with five other members of her company. She eventually returned home safely to her family in El Paso. Although she was sought after by media personalities such as Larry King, Connie Chung, and Oprah Winfrey, there were no book and no movie deals waiting for her in the hopper like there were for Lynch. Unlike Lynch, Shoshana Johnson was actually shot and wounded. Lynch, despite all the dramatized versions of what happened to her before she was rescued by U.S. commandos, was never shot and never stabbed. In fact, most of what we heard about Private Lynch was nothing more than a series of fairy tales designed to help sell the invasion of Iraq to Americans. Young female soldier caught in an ambush near the southern Iraqi city of Nasiriyah fights nearly to the death, killing several Iraqi soldiers before being captured herself. While in Iraqi hands, she was slapped around and interrogated. The U.S. military tipped off about her whereabouts, and U.S. commandos stormed the hospital where she was staying and brought her to safety, all the while videotaping the incident for the folks back home. Saving Private Lynch. It was a great story. Trouble is, it wasn't true. Lynch was very well cared for by Iraqi doctors who tried to return her to a U.S. military base, but couldn't because they were fired upon by U.S. soldiers. Lynch herself didn't fire a single shot during the ambush, and the Pentagon later admitted Lynch was injured when the Humvee she was riding in crashed into another vehicle in the convoy after it was hit by a rocket-propelled grenade. No matter. Lynch became an instant American hero anyway. For what? I'm not sure. How are you a hero for being captured by the enemy because your company took a wrong turn? You're more of a chump than a champ. If Jessica Lynch deserves a book deal, Shoshana Johnson deserves a lead role in a Hollywood flick and her own line of Shoshana dolls and clothes and perfumes. But let's face it. The only reason she's not the poster girl for the invasion of Iraq is because she's black. And she's not that cute. And she didn't have the U.S. military fabricating stories about her, trying to prop her up as some kind of national hero. She was just the black army cook from El Paso, Texas. Yeah, don't you just... Done to stick in your throat. And nobody, we opened the program tonight with some comments from one of the soldiers who was killed in the RPG attack on Jessica Lynch's convoy. One of the trucks that did get hit. And the father of that dead soldier, you know, he says, I'm glad Jessica made it back. Good for her. But what about the people who were killed? Yeah. And what about Shoshana? I just hate these people. You know, I it just turns my stomach. You know how Shoshana Johnson could have been a hero as far as I'm concerned? She could have and should have. And I don't give a damn about her poor economic background in West Virginia. Hey, all of us have poor economic backgrounds, even if we're not from West Virginia. Right? Here's what Jessica Lynch could have done. When she recovered from her bout of amnesia at Walter Reed or wherever she was and went home and had the parade. When was it, Kathy? On the 4th of July, Labor Day? I don't know. Maybe it was just a parade for her. Good for her. She's a soldier who went into a combat zone and came home. That warrants a parade. Absolutely. But then when it's all over, if she would have, instead of ducking into the house, instead of keeping herself pure for the best offer that came around, waiting for that $1 million deal. No. Supposing she would have called the next day, after she had a chance to hang with the family for a while, calm everybody down, say, yeah, I'm home, Mom, I'm home, Dad, brother, sister, cousin, grandmammy, all of y'all, I'm home. Now let's eat some meatloaf, some greens, give me some of them beets. How about some fried chicken and sweet tea? And everybody chill out on the back porch. Listen to the crickets. Talk. And then the next day, Jessica calls a news conference. Oh, Jesus. Every news organization in the country would have showed up. Everybody. All of them. Went 50 cameras out there. And Jessica says, look, let me tell you something. I'm out of this man's army now. This army of one, and I'm happy as I can possibly be. And you want to know why? Because we had no business being there. And you want to know why also I'm happy? Because I'm out. Because now I can hang this uniform up and forget about it. I ain't no hero! I'm no hero! I'm somebody who happened to be sitting on a Humvee and made a wrong turn. We had an accident. Now get out of here. Go away. Piss on all of you. Take your book deals and your film deals. Get these Pentagon PR people out of my face. I'm going to join Stan Goff's movement and try to get my fellow soldiers the hell out of there. But she didn't do that, did she? Nah. Hey, this is America, man. When opportunity comes knocking on your door like that, you know, with some disgraced New York Times writer says, hey, I'll write the book for you. Just give me half that million bucks. You know, when you're from Toledo, Ohio, or West Virginia, or Valrico, Florida, or some godforsaken village out in Oklahoma someplace, and somebody comes up to you and says, hey, we'll give you $1 million if you write a book, and you don't even have to write the damn thing. We got a boy over here write it for you. How about that, Jesse? Give you $1 million. But I didn't do anything. Doesn't matter. Yeah, you did. You're a hero. You're cute. You're blonde. Who's going to pass that up, huh? Would you, if you were little old cute Jessica, would you pass that up? Why, hell no. This is America. It doesn't make any difference what the truth is, especially where it concerns Iraq, especially where it concerns the Bush crime family or Rumsfeld's Pentagon. The truth be damned. For the Bush crime family, the truth is what they tell you it is. Right, Jessica? Right, sweetheart? Bless your heart for making it home. Bless your heart for not being dead. Bless your heart for having all four of your limbs. Bless your heart for still having your mind. But you ain't no hero, girl. You ain't no hero. And you know it. You could have been. You could have torn up the check and thrown it in their face and said, get off my daddy's property before I go grab the 12-gauge. Luke's been holding on forever. He's calling from Knoxville, Tennessee. Hey, Luke.
Hi, Mike. Yeah, she's not quite a hero. She's a survivor.
Yeah, she's a survivor. There you go.
Okay. I got one better for you, though, on the media.
Mm-hmm.
Now, next week is the two-week anniversary of September 11th. Did you see the breaking news in the New York Times today? White House approved departure of Saudis after September 11th, ex-aid says.
Yeah,
golly, only 103 weeks later.
Yeah, but Luke, you know that we've been talking about that for, what, Kathy, a year and a half?
Yeah.
I mean, that information was available to anybody who wanted it. This program, New York Times, Washington Post, CNN, all of them had access to that information.
Well, if you read the story, you find out the main reason why this is a story. It's because this guy, Clark, who was in the White House, I guess it was.
Yeah, he was anti-terrorism czar for the Bush White House.
Apparently he's got a story they're doing on him in Vanity Fair. So
well, no. The story in Vanity Fair, somebody tracked him down. He said he would talk, and he talked, and it's in Vanity Fair. That's where all these quotes are coming from, the Vanity Fair article.
Hey, can I put a plug in for somebody?
Absolutely.
Who's somebody, you know. It's the one person on the NBC group, the CNBC, MSNBC, I can stand.
And that I know who it is. That's Keith Olbermann.
Tonight, before you came on, I was watching.
I love his show.
Well, his fourth one tonight on his countdown is Osama and the Saudis talking about this deal that apparently they had.
Yeah, to get out of the country, right?
So they'd keep out each other's way. And right after that, he had Jeanine Garofalo on.
Right.
And he's the only one of pretty much anybody on cable news that I watch, because I know pretty well he partially sold out, but not all the way. You know what I mean? He's one of the people, he looks at some things and he just kind of, you get that feel when you look at him, he's going, what in the heck?
That's right. Yeah. I've said before, I don't watch television news anymore, but I try now to watch Keith Olbermann's show. It's on the last hour right before we go on the air, and it gives us enough time if we prepare to sit there and watch it. It's a good show. I like him.
He's, like I say, he's about the only one I don't want to say trust, but he's the only one I know that'll look around and see what all's going on and say, you know, this is kind of interesting. Let's put this on.
Yes, he will.
That doesn't kowtow to him. I mean, he was the one that during the Monica thing quit him because he said, I'm tired of doing this every night.
And he went back to sports.
Yeah.
And I'm glad to see him back in news. Hey, listen, thanks, Luke.
You have a good vacation, Michael.
All right, sir. Thank you. I appreciate it. And we will. Let's bump O'Kelly up here. Kelly is calling from Oak Hill, West Virginia. Kelly, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
This your first time calling?
Yes, it is.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you. I tend to agree with you about Jessica.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the circus about it, you know, we all say that this is a circus and the other thing is. But, you know, this girl, you know, we'll wait and see what happens, but I tend to think you're going in the right direction.
I would imagine, I would hope. Now, I understand from I don't know, People Magazine or something, whoever's been putting out the publicity about her family. I understand she's a church-going girl. She was brought up in a conservative family. I just wonder if her Sunday school lessons will ever kick in, the lessons about telling the truth, the lessons about not profiting from events that you shouldn't profit from. I just wonder if some of her Sunday school lessons will kick in. She seems like a nice enough girl who got herself caught into a real bad trap. Not necessarily the trap in Iraq, although that was a bad one too, but she got out of that alive. But the real bad trap of being selected by these thugs in the Pentagon to be the poster girl to sell this war to the American public. And I just wonder if she's going to have that epiphanous moment where she'll say, look, maybe it's time I told the truth.
I hope so.
Yeah, I wouldn't hold my breath on that one. Thanks, Kelly.
Thank you.
All right, sir. Hope you call again. There's our man, Wally, calling from Delaware. Hey, Wally.
How's it going, Mike?
It's going, pal.
I'd like to give you a quick potpourri, but before I do that, can I channel my favorite MSNBC goon, Joe Scarborough?
Oh, God. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Brain becoming more reptilian, eyes becoming more beady, IQ going down, soul now. What's wrong with you, Mike? Don't you think the few companies that control all the media know better than you do? Kelly Lynch, Private Lynch is just more interesting than Shoshana. Just like, I don't know, Chandra Levy's more interesting than, what's that girl that got killed in my office? Lori Klausoudis.
Yeah. Okay, please come back, Wally. I can't.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh, my God. I can't imagine being talked to by Joe Scarborough. It just makes sense.
Someday I hope it happens, though. I want to hear you see you.
No. I broke one of my rules and allowed myself to be videotaped and put on Fox News Channel the other night on a segment they did about liberal talk radio. Boy, was that a mistake. But,
well, I'm really out of it. When did...
I don't know. When it happened, Kathy? Last Tuesday or something. It was just your typical 3-minute, 2.5-minute package about, well, where's liberal talk radio? Well, let's talk with Mike Malloy. Well, let's talk with the group in Tennessee. Who are the guys in Tennessee? Stephen Collins and his partner. Oh, let's talk to a couple of conservatives now. Let's talk to Neil Bortz. You know, it was stupid.
Well, speaking of Satan there, Mike, and you just were, you were talking about Christy Whitman, who was reigning governor in my backyard, and you're right, she's every bit as vile as you think she is. She treated the state of New Jersey like it was her own private estate, and her grubby little husband's fingerprints were all over whatever backroom deals happened as a result of her being governor. She's a lot like, you know, she's different chromosome, but she's a lot like Dim Sum.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Benefited from a whore press, a big whore herself, has no real ethics or not even any real political beliefs other than advancing her own career.
Yeah, well,
and as far as covering up that the people of Manhattan are living in a toxic soup, I imagine she doesn't have any problem sleeping at night knowing that her millions increase.
Yeah.
I
wouldn't think. I hate these people. I hate them. Wally, thanks for checking in.
Okay, thanks.
All right, sir. You take care. We'll be right back.
Where you going with that gun in your hand?
Joe Scarborough music.
Going out to shoot my old lady. You know I've got a messy man with another man.
Hey, Mom, here's some good news. Tax rebate checks are here just in time for back-to-school shopping. And Sears will cash your tax rebate check free of charge with any purchase. Here's some more good news. Right now, during the Sears Great 3-Day Sale, save 50% on great back-to-school items throughout the store. Plus, all jeans are on sale. Brands like Levi's, Lee, Cannon River Blues, LEI, Bongo, and Mud. So hurry in now through Saturday. You don't want to miss the Great 3-Day Sale. 3-day sale ends August 16th. All jeans on sale through August 30th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears. Good life. Great price.
Now, everything you need for successful estate planning comes in one package. The new Master Estate Kit is a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you'll get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court. support, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Thieves in High Places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
What does most political talk radio sound like?
Good morning and welcome to my show. I'm fine, thanks for asking.
A little self-centered?
We're not going to take any calls right now because I want to talk. Remember, the show is at its best when it's more me and less of you.
Not very listener-friendly.
We're talking about all the progress we've made in Iraq. Tom and Seattle, you're on the air. Make it quick.
Yeah, I don't really agree with what you said about...
And I don't agree with you calling my show. Let's get it clear, people. If you don't agree with me, then you must be a communist.
A little one-sided?
The fact is that the Dixie Chicks should be sent to Iraq to live in a with Osama. Jeff in California, you're on the air. Make it quick.
I have a comment on how the U.S. has completely forgotten about Osama bin Laden.
No, you don't have a comment, Jeff, but what you do have is the privilege to listen to my show, and you're abusing it, and I am offended.
All around bad radio.
Says you.
But there is an alternative.
What?
You can get the best in progressive talk radio on the only progressive talk radio network there is, i.e. America Radio Network. For more information, go to ieamericaradio.com.
You'll be back.
No, they won't.
Yes, they will.
Get out of here.
Don't touch me.
Hi, I'm Steven Sack, and I host the Employees Lawyer Show on IE America Radio Network. We take calls from people all over the United States, and we help them in their job problems. So if you ever wondered what job rights you have and how to fight back, I'm the guy to call.
Listen to Steven at his new time on Sundays from 9 a.m. until noon and rebroadcast from 9 p.m. till midnight.
For more information on my show or other shows on the IE America Radio Network, go to ieamericaradio.com. It's the best advice I can give.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Restoring balance to talk radio. Here's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour, our Lyle, Illinois bureau chief, who very seldom graces us with his presence, is calling in. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Mike.
How you doing?
Okay, yourself? Good.
Yeah.
Not as wound up as last night, I heard.
Yeah.
I didn't hear it, but I saw some. You've got a huge following on Democratic Underground.
I love those people.
And I'm going to embarrass somebody who's on there by quoting one of my favorite slogans that came up about Joel Lieberman.
Okay.
It was just get his flabby face out of here.
Okay.
I saw the debate tonight, or I'm sorry, I didn't see him. Nobody televised him, but I heard it on the web. And
can you believe that nobody? I had a couple of Diane in Decatur emailed into me here in Decatur, Georgia. No, nobody carried.
You know, not the
not even C-SPAN.
No, and not even PBS, not locally here in Chicagoland anyway.
Yeah.
In some cities they did. And, you know, I'm getting the impression that Lieberman is actually a Republican and is going to, at some strategic point, and very dramatically in the high pro, in a high profile fashion switch parties.
He's saying
things like, you know, if we don't do this or that, we don't deserve to win, and that just seems to me that's way over the line.
Yeah, it is. Lieberman, I viscerally don't like him, but he reminds me so much, even though they're nowhere near alike, of Zal Miller, the senator, soon to be ex-senator from here in Georgia, who claims to be a Democrat. He's about as much a Democrat as I'm a Mooney.
And that whole DLC crowd that is backing him, I think they are really almost active Republicans. The other day or last week, I saw some DLC representative. His name was Ed Kilgore.
Yeah.
And he was the most disastrous thing I've ever seen. He needed a shave, a haircut, and a bath. He stared with his mouth open. He was almost drooling. And you know how the setup is on C-SPAN debates, the moderator at a desk and the participants
right.
on either side. Well, the other participant, Grover Norquist, was doing what a normal person would do. He was like at 30 degrees angle so he could see.
Yeah.
He could both see the moderator and look out at the audience. This open-mouthed goon, Ed Kilgore, was at 90 degrees to the camera, and he was just staring across the table.
Hey, listen, there's the music. Thanks, Jim. We got a boogie.
Okay.
All right, sir. I appreciate it. I hate to cut Jim off like that, but I just wanted to say, Guy James, tomorrow, Monday and Tuesday, then Curtis Ellis finishes the week. I'm back Monday, September 15th. All right? Program produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay, engineered in Detroit by Jay Balicki. Thanks to Jim, our Arkansas Music Bureau chief, and also Mark Marshall. MaximumInteractive.com. For our website, go there, MikeMalloy.com. Y'all take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Mr. Rogers' parenting book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting